Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD home studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Ray.
Oh yeah, we are on. We are live. We think. We hope. And this time we mean it. We think. We hope. We can only hope. You are listening live, we hope, to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you on a Friday night, January the 5th, 2024. Welcome to 2024, and let me be the last to wish you a happy new year. I'm Dre. He's Jay. We are happy to be here. We are so thankful that this hell site is back to working now. They finally took some of the money that we throw at them for the privilege of hosting this show, and they donated some of it to some 15-year-old junior engineers to get in there and finally fix what the hell is wrong with this site. And finally, our show is up and live and running the way it's supposed to run. At least, again, we think, we hope. Jay, I can only hope that everyone's not listening to classical music right now as I speak.
That would be good. And, of course, our thinking here in doing this 10 p.m. Friday night show was we needed as many bullets in the gun, so to speak, so we could just, if this didn't work, we left ourselves plenty of opportunity between now and Sunday morning to actually get a show in. And, hey, first time's the charm. We get to do this. I've got the coin right here, our official In Much Less Detail coin, which this year right. is one of my son's Pokemon coins. In
hey,
honor of my son.
Keep it all in the family. All right.
Keeping it in the family, a little cross-promotion. So I've got that sitting right here on the desk. It's nice and light and plastic, too, so you're not going to have to hear the coin go clunking all over the place or me chasing after it. So it's a nice big coin and very clearly marked heads and tails. So, you know, I'm getting old, so I need that. So I'm, you know, my last day before I catch up to you.
Right.
Yeah. Even though I'll never truly catch up, but
well,
I get to enjoy one last day here of not being old like you.
Right. Respect your elders.
That's right.
Our football party is in full effect today. The two-hour big show, we get the recap, you know how we do it, the best and the worst of week 17 in the NFL before we get you ready, making all of our picks for week 18. As Jay already explained, he's got the coin ready because, as is a long, long tradition here at IMLD, week 18 is such a coin flip that we literally flip a coin for every game and see how we do against the coin. Usually we get our ass kicked. Well, every now and then we actually do better than the coin, but it's more of a coin flip this year, I think, than ever before, Jay, with all the load management, with all the teams just benching starters left and right, just not going to play, not even pretending like they're going to play a half or something like that. Just nope, ruled out, just already ruled out. So it's a lot of that going on. And we'll get to all of that when we make our picks for week 18. Did that make it more difficult for you to get your picks than normal?
I'm jinxing myself right now, so I know I'm going to just have an absolutely terrible week 18. But I felt pretty good making this round of picks, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we aren't dealing with a lot of the, you know, will they or won't they starters. And we also don't have a lot of games or situations where an early result negates a later result. So you make a pick for a game and then an early result happens and then nobody plays in the afternoon.
Right.
So they've done a good job of spacing that out this year, where you know, a lot of the teams that are playing for something are playing early. And then a lot of the stuff that's going to end up kind of coming out in the wash is going to end up coming out in the afternoon slate. So I know I'm completely jinxing myself when I say I actually did not struggle that badly with this week 18 like I usually do.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I know. I'm just, you know, it's, I just sunk myself.
I don't know. I struggled a lot, but I don't know what that means. I've been struggling lately with my picks, so especially with my locks. But last week with my picks overall, you got the best of me. You finally decided to break the tie. You were sick of tying me every single week.
Yeah.
3 weeks in a row, so you just blew me away. Last week you got three games on me. You went 10-6 against the spread, and I went 7-9. For the season, that leaves you only three games off the pace. It's been a long struggle and a long climb, but here you are in striking distance as the last week of the regular season comes towards us. So I'm at 124 and 122 for the season, and you're at 121 and 125. Hard to get much closer than that. In addition, you...
We both lost our locks.
Oh, okay. I was looking for your... successful, yep. Lock, but it wasn't there because it was not. So it was, you were successful the week before to even our locks at 9.
Yes.
We are both still even on locks at 9 because we both lost our locks. And we didn't crap on our locks.
Although you did manage in spectacular fashion again.
Listen, when I lose, I lose.
Go
I don't leave any doubt.
Home.
That's right.
Your lock
I don't leave any
score.
Doubt. Second time in 3 weeks and my lock got shut out.
My lock tried not to score, but they got some garbage time, so at least I had that. No, we don't get extra points for the quality of our locks. But, yeah, we're tied. So, yeah, we're only three games apart going into week 18, and I completely struggled, especially after that run of weeks where you ended up running out to that 10-game lead on me after I got back from Florida. But I clamped it down, put together, you know, either these last, what, 6 weeks? It's either been ties or me just slowly chipping away. So here we are, primed for the playoffs. But, man, week 18, it can wreck some things. We've had that happen in the past, too.
Absolutely. It's always a coin flip, and that's why we literally flip a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking back at your record. You haven't had a week under 500 in a long time. We got to go back to week 9 when you were 6-8. You've been 500 or better ever since then. So that's a long climb. That's the climb from 20 games under 500 for you at that point. You were You're sniffing some Mariotti for a while there. Nobody ever wants to sniff some Mariotti.
No.
And you've climbed all the way back to now four games below 500 from back from 20 below. So that is one hell of a climb by you out of the gutter and looking around near 500 where I've been hovering all season. So
right. So it's not that you got worse. I just got better.
You got much better, yeah. That's all credit to you, absolutely.
So here we go. So maybe that's why I've got the false confidence going into week 18. Because just when you think you know, you get a week like this, and it just completely wrecks you. So
yeah.
But hey, we're here to talk about the past.
We are, at least for the first hour or so. So now that you have officially defeated me, we don't have to worry about who was
what.
We have to go all the way back.
I was getting greedy last week because there was a pathway to me coming all the way back. Because I was racking up wins early like crazy, and then you got those last couple, and it was like, oh, it's like just the Packers got me. And
thank goodness for the Steelers and the Packers, yes.
Man, yeah, but that's okay. I don't want to be greedy.
All right.
I was happy to any week where one of us can pick up three on the other because they're rare. I'll take it.
Indeed. So let's go and recap and see what happened in week 17 by virtue of you actually beating me. You get the honors to tell us all, Jay, what do you say is the best? Who was him? I am in week 17 in the NFL.
What do you think?
I don't hate to repeat myself here, but it's Groundhog Day again. And it's the Baltimore Ravens again. 2 weeks in a row, we said it. They did it, the Niners, and then they destroy the Dolphins. That's in spectacular fashion. 56-19.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Yeah, you got to give them another
throwing
one
it in now. So, yeah, okay. Just because I got the same thing, so I might as well just do it now.
Five touchdowns for Lamar Jackson, 321 yards on only 21 attempts. I know that's your favorite stat, but that's elite.
A lot of yards per attempt.
Yes. Might be the first game I've ever seen where both quarterbacks that played for one team had a perfect quarterback rating. Because Tyler Huntley came in and one for one for 19 and a touchdown. That gets you a perfect quarterback rating too. So Lamar goes for five touchdowns. Tyler Huntley throws in one just because. Dolphins, we talked about fins up, tits up. Oh my God.
Ooh.
You didn't believe, but obviously you recognize, because that's also your best of the week.
Yes. Now I'll jump on the bandwagon and, name the Ravens as my best of the week. Yeah. Yeah. You've already been there. You did it last week. I'll give them their flowers. There's Zay Flowers this week, 56-19, and that's over the Dolphins, whose defense is not bad at all. But Lamar and his crew sliced them up like Ginsu knives. They made them look bad. Fluid, almost effortless effort by Baltimore, which is how Miami's offense is supposed to look, but that's how Baltimore's offense looked. It's weird how the tables can turn like that. So, yeah, two games versus big-time offenses, the two biggest offenses, the two toughest to defend as far as I'm concerned in the league, in San Francisco and Miami. And two games, Baltimore answers the challenge and takes it to the opponent. Aggressive offense, going for it on fourth down, throwing long touchdowns, playing like their season was on the line. They were not passive at all. They were not waiting back to play out the game or get a feel for the opponent. They took it to them and said, we're taking this game and there's nothing you can do about it. And when Miami actually forced a turnover, Baltimore took it right back. They did not panic. They just stuck to their guns and stuck to their game plans. Bradley Chubb blows out his knee at the end of the game, which really sucks for Miami.
Yeah.
But this day was about the top seed in the AFC, which we thought was going to be Miami or Kansas City. But, nope, it's the Baltimore Ravens, and they took it. Nobody gave it to them. They absolutely took it. You talk about peaking at the right time. The Baltimore Ravens, they are the best. They are all him right now. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to go through the AFC. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to be the Super Bowl representative, but there's no doubt who the best team in football is right now, and there's no doubt who's going to wind up winning the MVP award. Lamar Jackson put his stamp on that.
Yes. No, and then buried within that game, you'll have two of the prettiest plays you'll ever see. We get a one-handed interception. I believe that was by Roquan Smith, and then you turn around, and then you get a one-handed touchdown catch and run from Isaiah Likely on the,
on fourth down.
Yeah, which was ridiculous, crazy, like fourth down from midfield. And it's like, what the hell?
Yeah, well, doesn't matter. We don't care.
Yeah. We're just better than you, and here we go. And that ends up turning into a, 35-yard touchdown pass to Isaiah Likely. Okay. Guess they didn't want the field goal on fourth and seven. You know, got Justin Tucker. I mean, he's got the leg, but no, they did that. That was right before halftime, and it was game over at that point. And that was coming off of not that long before that, a 75-yard touchdown pass to Zay Flowers. So yeah, all the credit to Baltimore. We talked about this sort of like stealth mode season that they've had, where you had all of the talk about the Chiefs and all of their stuff going on and the struggles and Taylor Swift and all that nonsense, and then the Bills and their struggles, and they're sort of climbing the mountain back trying to get into the playoffs. Even all the stuff with Cleveland and Joe Flacco and starting the four quarterbacks, but nobody was really talking about Baltimore. They're talking about them now.
Yeah, the Ravens are like, yeah, we're here. We're just over
so
here just minding
that,
our own business.
All that goes on and happens. And, there's the Baltimore Ravens at 13-3, number one seed in the conference.
crazy.
Yeah, it completely takes the AFC by storm here, and just and not in the quietest possible way. And yeah, credit to John Harbaugh and that team. And Lamar Jackson, you know, doing it not just with his legs this year, actually throwing the football. And this is probably the first time I've ever said this, but Lamar Jackson actually got better as the season went on, which is usually the reverse.
Right.
Right? Usually he starts flashy and throws all the 5 touchdown games, and then he wears out and he gets beat up and he makes runs he shouldn't make, and then by the end of the season – he's either falling apart like the Blues Brothers car, or Tyler Huntley's the starting quarterback because right. He got beat into a pulp. So good for the Ravens. They look strong. They are correctly benching all of their key personnel this week. So, hey, good for them. They are them. They are him. Who do you think you are? They are.
I guess Todd Monken was the correct answer at OC. This is not a Greg Roman season for sure. They are not going the wrong way. They are ascending, not descending. So.
Yeah, and that's with missing parts and, you know, getting players hurt. You were worried about Keaton Mitchell getting hurt. Well, they didn't need him.
Didn't need him. What would they be doing with Mark Andrews on the other side at tight end?
Man.
Him and Likely. Ooh.
Yeah, they just keep finding these parts and making these. Yeah, and yeah. How do you have that happen where you have Mark Andrews goes down and oh yeah, we've just got this Isaiah Likely who turns out he's pretty good too.
We've seen it though. Every time he's gotten a flash, every time he's gotten the chance to show, it's like oh shit, he's pretty damn good himself. So no surprise really. It's surprising, but it's not surprising, you know.
We always compliment the organization as the Baltimore Ravens, one of the best run, if not the best run organizations in football, and they've earned it. They're number one for a reason, and good for them.
If any team would have the replacement for Mark Andrews ready, it would be them, yes.
Yeah.
So the worst to you of Week 18.
Boy, this was in a week of worsts.
take your pick.
I had an image in my mind, and that image never left my mind for being worst of the week. So I'm going to go all the way back to Thursday night last week in the Jets-Cleveland game to what I could only describe as, when I was watching it, was Elijah Moore doing the Thriller on the MetLife turf.
Oh.
I mean, if you could, come on, close your eyes, play the replay. And he's just laying there and spasming after basically getting KTFO'd and getting his head basically dragged down into the turf. And then he flips over and he's on his back. And yeah, I mean, he started doing the Thriller. That's the only way I can describe it. It was not a fun thing to see. I know I'm making a bit of a joke, but it was not a positive thing.
Well, we do.
But that's what we do. You know, I'm sure Joe Buck was commenting about how cold it was in Cleveland. Because that was in Cleveland. That wasn't at MetLife. But still, not a good look. Kind of a scary sight. Another player, another bad injury. Somebody else getting, you know, KTFO'd in a game. And just, yeah, that's that creepy sight of him just laying there. Kind of, I don't know, looked like he was trying to zap lightning bolts out of his fingertips, just laying there. On the ground, and that was just that to me, that's worst of the week, because that's legitimately like a scary thing, you know. That is all these other things I'm sure we'll talk about, because I've got other, thank God we have all these other categories. but to me, yeah, that was one of those sights where it's just like, oh yeah, that just takes you out of the enjoyment of watching football for a little while. And you know, and especially in a game like that where you're appreciating what those two are doing specifically, kind of like that Flacco, Elijah Moore revenge game, and they're both playing exceptionally well against the Jets and putting up all those points. And right in the middle of all that, you get a guy get his head bounced off the turf and starts having, you know, uncontrollable spasms because he's so concussed. So that was my worst of the week.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Reminded me a little bit of watching Keaton Mitchell, the aforementioned, running wild in that game that he happened to be running wild and just crumpled. And just his knee just snaps, and that's the end of the season.
Yeah, it just makes you kind of nauseous and like, oh, man. Because, you know, like you said, it reminds you of how gruesome and violent this sport can be in all of its beauty. Yeah, that was an ugly game in several ways. And, you know, that and just the effort, the lack of effort being given by the Jets defense who did not want to be there.
Did I see some quotes there? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that my Jets defense quotes. Goes out and lets Joe Flacco air them out for 37 mm-hmm. points.
And you can't be blamed for thinking that it was at the Meadowlands, because it's usually at the Meadowlands where somebody loses their life or comes close to losing their life.
That's the image that I kept having, was that, well, you know, it's MetLife. No, I was like, no, that was incredible.
No. Can't blame them this time.
And it was cold. It must have been cold down on that field.
That's what Joe Buck says. Yeah, no, it really does always seem to happen up there in Jersey, but not this time. Yeah, that was very bad. The worst to me, like we said, there's our picks that we have our choice. We have our different things we can pick from as the worst.
The smorgasbord of the worst this week.
I will, and it seems small, to a lot of people maybe, but not to me. It struck me as the worst this week is Panthers asshole owner David Tepper.
Yep.
Already separated from the people up in his private box down there in Jacksonville, decides he can't handle the heckling from the fans below him down there as his team is getting embarrassed by the Jaguars, so he decides to take a drink and throw it down on them.
Yeah.
Really? That's your response? You're already up there, in the heavens with all where the only the ultra rich can sit.
You're a billionaire.
All these people are doing are whatever they could possibly say, whatever they could possibly be doing to you is absolutely meaningless. You're going to turn around and get in your private jet and go back home afterwards. There's no reason to sit there and throw a drink on them as if you're so high and mighty that you can do that and walk away with no consequences. And he kind of had no consequences when you think about getting fined $300,000, which is 0.0% of his actual worth. But you hear about, the term punching down. This is the epitome of it. Why are you throwing drinks on people for heckling you? What are you, Paris Hilton or something? What the fuck's wrong with you? this is worse to me than you hear me talking about Stephen Curry firing his mouthpiece into the stands.
Yeah.
This is worse because Tepper's not a competitor. He's not having a conniption in the middle of competing and throwing all of his passion into what's going on the field or on the court. He's just an owner. He's just sitting there watching his shitty-ass team have another shitty-ass game, and that's his reaction, to throw a drink on other people for heckling him about it. That's the worst. To me, I'm sorry, if it's small, it's fine, but it's the worst to me because it's just such a – the NFL owners are so insulated from reality as it is. When you got one guy impregnating people down there in Dallas, you got another guy getting happy endings down there in Tampa, who owns New England, but he got it in Tampa. All these owners have such a completely outsized opinion of themselves, and they're not really rooted in reality at all. And now here you got the – this is like a gateway to me. Like, what's next? If you can get away with throwing drinks on people because they're, giving you shit in their stadium, you're in their house, by the way. You're not at home. You went down there to them and decided to throw a drink on them and then get on your plane and leave. What's next? What's to stop from, Jerry Jones from spitting on somebody? What's to stop somebody else from taking out their cock and pissing on somebody? There's no, that's why it's the worst to me, because now you're crossing over into assault, because if somebody throws a drink at one of these NFL owners, that person's going to jail because that's technically assault. But the owners can do that and get a $300,000 fine and just, that's something they can just write a check and throw that away, and it doesn't mean anything to me. So that to me was the worst, because it's just like, what are you doing? How small of a person are you, man? Come on.
Yeah, I'll say everything that you just said, except that was, to me, was my stupidest of the week. Was that owner, because that wasn't just the act of the owner taking out some frustration on a Jaguars fan as his team is getting embarrassed on the field again. I think this was like the season's worth or multiple. Like, this is his entire ownership. Like, he, you know, getting poured out onto those fans because that team has become a massive failure. They fired their coach, not even two-thirds of the way through his first year. Their first-round number one pick that they traded everything for is garbage. And they don't have that pick next year. They locked up the number one pick for the Bears in that game. And so the cupboard's completely bare in Carolina. This guy makes – they've made horrible decisions, bad trades. They're getting embarrassed on the field. And the guy's obviously a red ass. So you have all of that together ends up costing them, $300,000. I heard on one of the other podcasts I listened to that they heard somewhere else. So that was I'm third party sourcing this or that $300,000. If you made $50,000 a year, it's the equivalent of us being fined $1.19. Not kidding. Based off of how much money this guy has, so basically nothing. That fine was nothing. And that's all it's going to cost them. This is going to cost them just, chump change. And who even knows where that money goes? That money's not going to go to the fans he threw the beer on.
No. Right back to Goodell.
Disappear. It'll just disappear into some coffer somewhere or go into the league, which doesn't need the money. So it's all just, it's all a circle jerk. So, exactly. That was the dumbest of the week, was him and letting his showing his ass like that. And season's culmination of embarrassment and frustration. So sort of that lifetime achievement award for David Tepper, because that Carolina organization how have they fallen? I mean, it's bad, and it's not going to get better. What's their
no?
What are they going to do? Improving the draft? Oops.
get a new owner who doesn't fire coaches every 3 months or whatever.
yes, that was my dumbest of the week.
That's not the Jaguars fans' fault for that you can't hire a coach, that you can't keep a coach. It's not the Jaguars fans' fault that you traded your entire draft to draft apparently the wrong quarterback. And I know it's only 1 year, but it sure doesn't look like the right decision right now. How do you blame the fans for all of that? That's all you, pal. You should throw a drink in the mirror, because that's who did all of that, not the fans.
And you lost, and you got beat 26-0 by an eminently beatable team, by a team that was in free fall and reeling. I mean,
But I locked them, so that's the only. That's what broke the streak. That's what got the Jaguars out of the ruts. I locked against them.
They saw that, and you gave them some billboard material.
Yeah, Tepper should throw the drink at me, because apparently I'm the reason that happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you did your dumbest, so now you get to do your smartest.
It's sort of Ravens-palooza this week. So the Jets decide that they're done. And they've had a disgruntled Dalvin Cook for the majority of the season, and most reasonably so, because Breece Hall, superior talent. I believe Dalvin Cook was only brought in probably at Aaron Rodgers' behest. That sort of feeling, I never was said, but I kind of always got that vibe that this was a Rodgers guy, that they brought him in. Another veteran guy, even though Breece Hall was clearly the future and he played that way, and Dalvin Cook got to ride the pine. So, boy, who needs a fresh running back right now? Oh, boy, yes, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Boy, they're getting some very fresh Dalvin Cook legs going into the playoffs, especially after the loss of Keaton Mitchell. And we know what Gus Edwards is, right? He's just that. He's
the bowling ball at the goal line.
Yeah, he's the battering ram, so they get Dalvin Cook with very low miles for this season to come in and see how they're able to work him in here through. If they play, I don't know if he's going to play it all this week, but they've got 2 weeks then with the bye to get him up to speed. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get to division round and Baltimore's got some packages or some plays set up for Dalvin Cook. This was not a, well, let's just see kind of signing. This was somebody who I think will see some playing time in this run for them. So I'm going to say that the Jets and the Ravens are smart. The Jets for letting him go. They clearly had to cut bait. He cleared waivers because the contract was too big, and then the Ravens scooped him up because they are the best organization in football.
Because that is something that they would do. This is actually the type of move that Bill Belichick and the Patriots would have made back in their heyday. They would put him right next to Tom Brady in the backfield, and he'd get like three touchdowns on wild card weekend over the Texans if the Patriots win 49-10 or something like that. But instead, it's the Ravens who make the move. So, yeah, it could be a smart move. I'll admit I rolled my eyes when I saw it because it's like, well, the Ravens are only doing that because Keaton Mitchell got hurt, and they're desperate.
Correct.
And it's not like Dalvin Cook was blowing the world on, you know, putting the world on fire. He's averaging 3 yards a carry this year. But
he's a pass-catching back.
He does catch passes out of the backfield. They're probably not going to ask him in between the tackles for more than like five times a game.
Right.
So he doesn't, you know, they're not going to ask him to be the bell cow because, like you said, they got Gus Edwards to sledgehammer away. So yeah, in short spurts, yeah, we'll see if he's got something left, and if it's going to work out, that's the way to do it is sparingly. So yeah, it might be a very smart move.
A low risk ad, and good on the Jets for letting him go, right?
Yeah, there's no reason to hold on to him. You're doing nothing.
Exactly. Unless you're gonna have some packages for Dalvin Cook in Week 18.
No. My smartest of Week 17. I do not know how Mike Tomlin does it, but I knew he was gonna do it. I don't know how. 17 years coaching the Steelers.
Well, not that clap.
Oh, please. We don't want that. But yes. 17 years now, over 500 every single year with a winning record. I was dumb not to lock it up, so I'll give my smartest to Tomlin and the dumbest to me, or I should have the dumbest. I don't know what he did or how he did it, but he got Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren to run hard in the same game. He got George Pickens to keep his ass focused on the game, on the task at hand. And as a result, Pittsburgh knocks off Seattle to stay in the wild card hunt. You know, Mason Rudolph for MVP, Tomlin for Coach of the Year. Why not? We've had all sorts of other stupid hot takes this year, so why not have those as well? But in all seriousness, big effort by Harris and Pickens. Beat Seattle, figure out how to play their best ball exactly when they need to, put themselves over 500, put themselves in position for a wild card spot. It's one of those years for them. They had some, when you say ups and downs, like at some point, Tomlin was thought to be like on the hot seat. Like they were thinking he was going to get
canned. How many times over the last 4 or 5 years have we danced on his grave?
Right. Oh, they're not listening to him. It's over. They got to get rid of him. And here they come again.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. He figures it out. So I'm giving him my smartest, even though I have no damn idea how he's doing it. But he found a way to motivate those same Najee Harris looking like absolute ass for most of the year. Now just comes up and is breaking tackles and busting through and refusing to go down. George Pickens looking like the biggest asshole, just refusing to block, trying to protect himself, looking the other way when balls are being fumbled and not giving a damn about anything, just being frustrated. Now that guy is just running up and down the field. And Mason Rudolph just bombs away with him. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how the Steelers have done it. But once again, there they are, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Tomlin, my smartest of the week.
Yeah, knocking on the door of the playoffs. They win, and things go their way. Yeah, things could go their way, and now we can see Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Doesn't mean they're going to go anywhere, but hey, that's quite the accomplishment after we figured they were on track to win like five games this year.
Yeah, a whole lot of people didn't think they would get anywhere near the playoffs this year.
No, and they went through that stretch where they were winning games like the Eagles were winning games, you know, where you're just looking at it like, oh, okay, yeah, you won, but no, I don't want any of that. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, they've actually won, like, legit.
Damn right. Like, no doubters. Go figure, that team. You gave your dumbest already. It is now on me for my dumbest of week 17.
No, 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 no.
Hey, Dan Campbell, lunkhead. Oh. Hey, dude, it's okay to go for the tie. It's okay.
Yeah.
At some point, pride clearly got in his way, and he decided he was going for two, even if the Lions got pushed back to midfield. He was going for two on that play. Of course, Detroit got a touchdown against Dallas with 23 seconds left. The pull within 1 point. Campbell says, go for two to win the game, which is completely understandable. And then all the controversy breaks down, which I'm sure you have an award for it somewhere. But left tackle, Taylor Decker, sneaks out, catches a two-point conversion, except, unfortunately, referee Brad Allen did the see no evil, hear no evil thing. He said, oh, I didn't see him report. I didn't hear him report as eligible. It doesn't count. We're throwing a penalty and pushing him back. So at that point, you push the Lions back to the 7-yard line on the 5-yard penalty. You tried your trick play. It didn't work, as unfair as it seems. Now you got to, throw your hands up and send the extra point out and take the tie and play for overtime. Nope. Dan Campbell says, I'm not going to go for that. We're going for the win. We did not come here to tie. We're going for it, even though we're at the 7-damn-yard line, which everybody knew it wasn't going to work. There was another penalty, I believe, to move him a little closer. It was a defensive penalty.
It was an offsides on Dallas, so it's like they didn't get it, then they got pushed back, then they got pushed a little bit forward. But, the moral of the story is Dan Campbell was going for it come hell or high water. That was it.
No matter what, he was going for that, too. Dude, it's okay. You can go for one.
Yeah.
It's all right. That was my dumbest.
It's okay to gamble. Right? But that's balls of Staley time, and that doesn't. I'm never letting that go. Brandon Staley may be gone, but the balls of Staley will remain.
Live on forever.
They will live on forever. Their heart will go on. Their balls will go on. Sometimes you can be smarter than you need to be. And nothing was wrong with kicking the extra point and taking that team to overtime, especially in that situation. This wasn't a meaningless game. This was playoff seeding potentially at stake. And now you are behind Dallas, and Dallas wins. Right. You had the 2 seed still in your hand, and now you don't. Now you can still get there, but you need a lot of help.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't very smart. I'll agree with you on that.
Huge controversy. The league should maybe give them the win anyway, or so. I don't know. I'm joking.
That'll never happen. I know.
But clearly, there's something that's got to change with that situation where the guy obviously runs in and reports is eligible, but because the ref is looking at somebody else, that opens yourself up for corruption and shit. Like, if I don't want to see you report as eligible, I can just look at some pussy in the crowd and go, ooh, look at that hot piece of that. Wow, look at those tits. I can do what I did when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't see you. I was looking at the girl in the stands. That's just, I don't know what's going to change as far as that goes, but something's got to change because they can't keep doing it like that.
And because of that, I don't have a whole lot extra to add to that, but Joe does.
Uh-oh. For the refs?
Struggling.
Yes. For report gate. The whole situation. I don't care if they ran players up there to confuse somebody or whatever. You clearly see on the replays, Jared Goff sends Decker to the ref. You see Decker go to the ref and report, and the ref acknowledges him. Then they announce the wrong number as eligible. So it's not 68, it's 70 they announce as eligible. So the ref announces 70, the wrong guy, as eligible. So who do the Cowboys cover on that play? They cover 70. So they didn't cover Decker because he wasn't announced as eligible.
Supposed to be eligible.
So, correct. So as much as we want to say, controversy, no, the Cowboys played the way that it was plain to them. They played it straight up. They covered the guy who was supposed to be the eligible guy, which is part of the reason why Decker was so wide open, because the refs didn't report the right guy. The whole thing's a screw-up. Again, your boy Campbell here, trying to be the smartest guy in the room, sends three players running up to the ref to try, and they said that they were trying to do this whole, you know, confusion thing.
They confused him, all right.
They confused him so much that they report, you know, he gets two guys in his face, he says the wrong number. It got Brad Allen and his crew cut out of the playoffs, but it did get them tomorrow night's Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Oh, fun. Yeah.
We'll see. Thankfully, go to Ravens, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't, but we'll see if there's any shenanigans
or
craziness going on in that game for a game that Pittsburgh desperately needs. We'll see. And there's some weather likely for that game. So it's going to be crazy. Yep. You know, you've got that crew. You've got weather. Oh, boy. It's going to be a fun Saturday night.
Keep your eye on that game.
The refs and Joe they are struggling.
That's a weird thing, man, to have three guys running up to you, but two of them are saying nothing and, like, pantomiming at you, and you're supposed to pay attention. With the, you know, loudness of 100,000 people down there in Jerry World, you're supposed to make sure you're paying attention to the one guy talking to you, even though there's three guys surrounding you. That's crazy. It's not easy.
I'll tell you the note that's going to come down for the league, or the rule that's going to get put in by the competition committee, is you can't send three guys. You can send the guy to the ref who's reporting as eligible. That's it.
Then that takes away the element of surprise for the defense. So they're all going to know.
Right. But they announce it. They announce it over the speaker.
Yeah.
Somebody just reported in as eligible. So, yeah, I get it. But in this case, you get the balls of Staley with them going for it no matter what, combined with tricking the refs. And they tricked themselves out of it. So that's... the whole thing was a mess. It was struggling all around.
There's a lot of struggling going on. Yeah.
There was a lot of struggling. The only team not struggling in that spot was the Cowboys. They did nothing wrong. They played it the way it was drawn up to them. They okay, you're going to have you, and you, and that guy's eligible? Okay, we'll cover him. And they did.
Right. Yeah.
And then they stopped the second time. Legitimately, too, even though that was just a horrible underthrow by Jared Goff.
Right, yeah. But, again, shouldn't have been thrown it anyway because you're far back now. You're not at the two. You're not at the one. Just go ahead and take the extra point, man.
So I'm wondering, though, because of the penalty, would that have made it a 5-yard extra kick?
The extra point would have been the... right, instead of 33-yard, it would have been a 38-yard.
38-yard extra point. That's not a gimme.
It better be in this day and age, 38 yards.
See how many extra points have been getting missed this year?
Yeah, but have you seen how many kickers have been bombing it from 50, regularity?
I mean, that's Matt Prater, right? Is that Matt Prater? Who is their kicker? I have no, Matt Prater's in Arizona.
Who's the...
I can't keep my kickers together anymore.
Yeah. No, that's another sign of our age. We can't keep up with
kickers. Crosby came out of his grave a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah, I have no idea what the Lions kicker is, but no kicker should be scared at all of a 38-yard extra point. It's really not, I can't do it, but they should absolutely be able to do it.
It's Michael Badgley. Okay.
There you go. Yeah, that's he's not terrible, I don't think.
No.
So do you want me to do my struggling, or you want to keep going with your surprise?
Yeah, we'll just keep going. And when we get to that one, you can double up, so.
All right, so that means you get your surprise now.
Yeah, this one.
Hey, what happened?
Man, you want to talk about most of the teams that controlled their own destiny last week, they handled their business, right? The Bills, the Jags, the Steelers, the Packers, a lot of these, you know who didn't? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh, man, that was a surprise. I did not expect them in that situation to have the Saints show up and turn them over four times. A complete implosion at home by Tampa in the – nobody wants to win the NFC South. And that ends up going eventually to a 20-0 game before Tampa finally started moving in garbage time. And, you know, and the stats were there. You know, Baker Mayfield threw for 300 yards. But that's all kind of glossing over the fact that when you're at home trying to clinch a playoff spot and against a division foe and you're -4 in the turnover battle, things are not going to go your way.
No, they got smoked.
And for a team that's been playing so clean and, it, you know, offensively been doing things defensively, they've been fine. But you can't go out and go -4 in the turnover battle at home and expect to win the division. Their only sort of requiem here is they get the Panthers this week.
I don't know if
that's in their mind, like, oh, we could lose, the, yeah, we could grab this one away because we got those guys next week.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of this at all. But yeah, you get 4 balls, 2 bad INTs by Baker, and 2 bad fumbles. I kind of think it was just one of those days. Every team has, you know, a bad day here and there.
Division opponent, right? They know you.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get a you know, prohibitive favorite horse that just doesn't post, that just doesn't get out of the gate. And has a terrible race, and I think that's what the Buccaneers did against the Saints. I don't think they were looking forward to the Panthers at all. I think they just had a really bad day. So.
But it's their sort of reward. They get their, you know, it's like, okay, yeah. Oh man,
you get a reprieve.
We didn't win the division, right? Now, what do we get next week? Panthers. Okay, we're all right.
Everything should be okay.
Now, if they lose to the Panthers, the offense are off.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
The good news for me is I can't lock this game up because I locked up the Bucks and lost. So, and you can't lock up the Panthers.
No, nor should I ever have locked up the Panthers.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't lock up their opponent.
That's true. I could.
You could. We'll see. I'll tell you right now, if you looked at my 16 picks, you'd never guess my lock this week. So I might surprise you with my lock this week. Or maybe I won't.
The
same lock.
We're not going to have the same lock, I'm pretty sure. But anything is possible this week. It's such a crazy week with all the teams that are benching people and all the – and plus is – but you got all these teams benching people, and yet there's only 2 games on the whole schedule in which there's nothing on the line. There's only 2 games where everyone –
that's what makes everyone's this one eliminated. So much different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, the way they staggered the games, a lot of these teams that need to win – and then get help. All the teams that need to win play earlier, it seems like, and then the help comes late.
Mm.
So they still have to take care of their business if they want to have a shot. So,
right. Yeah, that's the way you're supposed to do
it. It's a very interesting week 18, the way they set up this schedule. And I like that they did that, where it's all just TBD now, and I think the league is going that way, so that you don't end up these sort of negative impact games where something happens at noon, and then it makes the later afternoon game completely meaningless.
Yeah, they're trying to avoid that if at all possible. And this year it happened to be possible they could set that up. So that's a good thing.
So I do like that. So that was my surprise. What surprised you?
One of the more surprising favorites covering the number I've seen in a while. The Kansas City Chiefs did not at all play like a 7-point favorite. They trailed the Bengals most of the way, but they win and clinch the AFC West somehow. I was definitely surprised because I sat there and watched that whole game. I did not see that coming at all, but they did it. It wasn't pretty. There's more drops. There's more misplays. But Kansas City strings together enough points on field goals to cover the spread versus Cincinnati. They get some big plays through the air and some quarterback terrorizing by Chris Jones. And Casey's D is arguing with themselves down 10, so it was looking really bad. It was looking like they're in the middle of a complete implosion. It wasn't just Pat Mahomes throwing up his hands going, there's nothing I can do. I don't know what's going on. It was now the defense was fighting with each other, too. It looked like they were headed for another demoralizing L, and all of a sudden they just kind of turned it all around and put enough points together and wound up not just winning but covering. That was hugely surprising to me. I don't know what that means. I'm certainly not declaring the Chiefs back because of that, But they did it. You can't take it away from them. You got to give them credit for doing it. It's just, it looked as ugly. That's one of the uglier looking 8-point victories you'll ever see.
It was it was a home win against a team with a backup quarterback that's not playing for anything. I'll still say color me unimpressed by the Kansas City Chiefs because they get down 17-7 and then need 6 field goals in a row from that point on. At that point, when they got down 17-7, that's just not the Chiefs game, and it worked against an inferior opponent. They will not be facing inferior opponents from after this week on out. Whoever comes into their building, because there's very few bad AFC playoff teams, whoever comes into their building is going to have something for them. That's going to be a lot more than what Jake Browning and the Cincinnati Bengals had for them. So that's great. Good job, guys. You did it. Can't take it away from you. You played a crap division. Even though the Raiders were still technically barely hanging on, those guys, good for them.
Yeah, Ja'Marr Chase talking shit, trying to get at the Chiefs, and he didn't show up.
No, not at all. They wanted to be salty or use this as some kind of a revenge game from the playoffs. You can't go into it without your horses. I mean, if that's Joe Burrow out there, maybe this is a different game.
That's what I was saying when we were picking the game. Like, he was talking shit as if he had Joe Burrow as his quarterback. Like, dude, right. You understand? Jake Browning's your guy.
Did we have that or no?
We did. We had the Chiefs -6.5, and then I don't know how they did it, but they did.
You wiped that sweat right off the brow.
That was my biggest surprise of the week. I'm like, how did they win that game and cover? How?
We covered that. Okay.
Yeah. I had to take everyone I could get last week. Man, it was very rough for me. That brings us to your letdown.
Boy. We've been stomping on these guys for a few weeks, but the Philadelphia Eagles. We just keep giving them rope. We're trying to save them. It's like we're trying to pull them up. Like, here's the rope. They just tie it around their necks and jump. I don't know what's going on with the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, that's not what you do with the rope. Don't do that.
you're supposed to climb up. I'm bungee jumping by my neck.
That's not a good idea.
Does it work that way? Bad play calling, bad defense. The defense has just evaporated. I don't know what happened to them. Vaunted Philly defense. They give up 35 to the Arizona Cardinals. They can't get the first down at the end of the game off of some, I don't even know what the play call was on that final Philly drive where they do 2 quarterback sneaks and then a wildly unimpressive pass play. Just ugly. And it's like they're getting the tight sphincters. Teams are hanging around. No, the key is that nobody's afraid of these guys. It's like, okay, great, we'll let you have your tush push, you know. But you can't do that if you can't get down there. And that's nice, but that seems to be their most successful play. But that's it. There's turmoil in the locker room. A.J. Brown is starting to show, some of the cracks there. It's always the receivers, right? He's unhappy or they're calling each other out. It's not looking like it did that. Against a bad defense, terrible offensive showing for them. Jalen Hurts only goes for 167. They don't get much done on the ground. Just uninspired football and completely let themselves get run down by the Dallas Cowboys. And we talked about, the pixie dust that they were playing with. It's all gone.
Yeah.
So all those wins.
Feels like a long time ago.
All those wins they were getting a month ago on, bubblegum and baling wire and just MacGyvering this shit. Now, it's all gone. It's like it just completely flipped. And the Eagles have been a massive letdown in the NFC. After that Super Bowl run, playing one of the, that offense playing at the level that it did in that Super Bowl, and then starting out hot this year, and then the cracks really started to show. And now, this might be one of the weaker teams going into the playoffs, and they have 11 wins.
They are not playing like they have 11 wins. They don't look like that team at all. They are a massive letdown because they are
struggling.
Man, that defense is a hot mess. I mean, you let Arizona rally from 15 down in the second half. 29 points by the Cards in the second half. The Cards! The Arizona Cardinals, what are you doing? The Eagles could not stop the Cards from storming back. No matter how many kill shots Philly thought they dished out, Arizona ate them all and kept getting up, kept coming back. Ever since San Fran came into Philly and embarrassed them, everyone's been getting their licks. Everyone has been taking it out on Philly. Now you got to wonder, can we stop anybody? The Eagles got to be, doubting themselves and asking themselves. Like you said, they're fighting with each other. They got, internal struggles, which is not a surprise. Can you sink any farther than giving 29 to Arizona in the second half? I guess Sean Desai is the DC. That wasn't the problem after all. I guess Patricia as the DC is not the magic pencil or the magic pen or whatever you want to call it. That Kyler Murray spinning touchdown throw to the James Conner, that was insane. But that's the type of stuff that happens to you when you're struggling like that. And Arizona never punted in the game. Again, it's the Arizona Cardinals. That's not a great team at all.
And that's in a game at home that you needed.
Right. That's the effort you turn in.
Yeah.
221 on the ground and another 230 in the air for the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, who, strangely enough, they've beaten the Cowboys and the Eagles this year.
And in completely different ways, because Cowboys win was back when
that was Josh Dobbs.
When Pastrnak was roaming the earth.
Yeah, but I got to say, for a 4-12 team, they're not going anywhere, but they look different with a healthy Kyler Murray.
Well, they should. He's a number one overall pick. He better be a difference maker, right?
Well, they love him like the Bears love Justin Fields. I'm just saying, very similar stuff that you hear. Is this it for Kyler? No.
Every game.
You give it to you give him the weapons, he's okay. He heard the call of duty.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
That was my struggling.
What let you down?
What let me down? I'm letting myself down with these locks. God damn it. I'm terrible. Three in a row. I've missed.
You're...
And not just missed, but looked like a total jabroni.
Yeah.
Total.
You were up three on me, I believe, at one point in the locks.
I locked the Jets at Miami. They lose 30-0. I locked the Eagles to cover 13.5 against the Giants. They almost lost the game. Certainly didn't cover the spread. They only won by 8. And then this one, locked the Panthers. The Panthers. That was more locking against the Jags than locking the Panthers. But either way.
Right. It was easy. We both were. And again, I don't think I crapped on. Well, I crapped on the Miami one. I didn't crap on the Giants one, but I was glad they lost. They didn't cover, because at that point I'm like, oh, I won my lock that week. So I was like, all right, I can get back to tied here. And yeah, locking up the Panthers. Yeah. I mean.
26-0.
Zero.
Zero. That's all the Jags needed.
That's
all they needed. It was for me to lock Carolina. Only 7 shutouts this season. And I've locked the loser of 2 of them. 2 of them. Oh, and I went back.
Oh.
I looked back. Week 9, I locked Seattle, who lost in Baltimore 37-3. What is going on with my locks? I'm terrible.
We need to add a point differential element to this.
I don't want to get on points bet. I don't want to get where I lose even more. The more I'm... No, that would keep me up at night if I was losing even more based on the amount of shutout or the amount of points that my lock is giving up. But yeah, that's my letdown of the week is myself. Like, what the hell am I doing with these locks, man? Ugh.
And we got 1 week left to determine a locks winner, so we could We could go tied, which we've done. I mean, it's, you know, we'll see.
If we both lose or if we both win, then nobody gets that extra point for our playoff system. Or I could lose again and you could catch me and run me all the way down and earn that point.
Or you could get that extra point. So it's all up for grabs here. Tied at, what, 9? So we're 9-8 on locks. Ugh.
We both did our strugglings.
We did.
I believe.
It just leaves Danielle.
Ah, girl, where you at? I always struggle to find her.
Just remember, kids, only you can prevent fires at Tyreek Hill's house if you don't play with lighters and burn half of Tyreek Hill's house down. I saw that story, and you see the pictures of him outside with the wife, the recently married Hill family, standing outside
about
of his
5 minutes ago.
Standing outside of his burning down house with the giant plumes of flames coming out of it and plumes of smoke, and you come to find out the next day that it was a child playing with a lighter, and there's no, you know, police already dismissed it, no wrongdoing, but man, what the fucking, don't play with fire, kids.
If there's any player in the National Football League who would have a child almost burn their house down playing with a lighter, I think Tyreek Hill would be the leader in the
clubhouse.
Cheetah?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be the least surprising. But no, what the fuck was that? That's a good one. For me, my Danielle, sometimes you watch a team or a guy play, and within 3 or 4 snaps, you know this team or person does not belong on the field, either they don't have the talent, they don't have the physicality, they're clearly not prepared, combination of that, all of the above. And when you see that, if you're in a betting jurisdiction where it's legal, it's your duty to live bet the shit out of that situation, which I did not do. And I wish I did. But Sunday night, Vikings quarterback decision, OMG.
Jared Hall.
What the fuck was that?
That was inspired. It was so bad.
That guy had no business on the field.
None.
Especially contrasted with Jordan Love, who's getting better and better each game. And Jaren Hall could not have looked more not ready for prime time as the Packers destroy the Vikings. Why would Kevin O'Connell make that call?
I don't know.
What the fuck? He looked awful.
By the numbers, 5 of 10 for 67 yards and a pick before they had seen enough. And that was at halftime. They let it get so bad. It was 23-3 before they finally yanked him.
Bro, what? Like, you do all that during the week to get him prepared just to go, my bad, at halftime and put Nick Mullins back out there. Like, and like, what's Mullins supposed to do at 23-3? What's he supposed to do? Come on, man.
And what's even more amazing is you're still fighting for a playoff spot at that point. I mean, the Vikings are still technically, mathematically not eliminated, but they went a long way towards getting to almost mathematically eliminated by losing that game to Green Bay. They needed to beat the Packers to keep a legitimate shot, you know, to sort of flip-flop with them in the division. And to get to that 8-win threshold and keep the Packers at 7, sort of where the Packers are now, the Vikings wish they were, and they decided to start Jaren Hall. Like, they obviously didn't like that Nick Mullins just kind of YOLO balls all over the field. But sometimes that's what you need when you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and those guys. Just throw it up and let them go get it. And in the second half, they started moving the ball a little bit more, but not enough.
Yeah, at that point, like, again, what's he supposed to do? And I don't know what you think Jaren Hall is going to give you over Nick Mullins. Yeah, Nick Mullins is going to YOLO it and keep both teams in the game, but you already know that. But Jaren Hall is not going to keep any team in the game. He's not going to give your team any chance.
Your team in the game. No. That was so you're wishing you had thrown some dough on that, huh?
Oh, if I'd have been in my right mind, I'd have seen the first 3 or 4 plays and been like, oh, shit, I got to slam the Packers live right now because there's no way the Vikings are winning this
game. I'm worried about that pick because the Packers are losing their weapons left and right. But, boy, they get Aaron Jones back at just the right time. And who knew that they'd decide to turn Bo Melton into a superstar?
And the Reed kid, you know, just making touchdown catches all over the place.
If you haven't been paying attention much to the Packers, obviously it would look like, who's this kid? But no, he's been doing this for them all year. He has been their number one receiver, I would say, this year. And now he's banged up too. So they'll just have somebody else do it. It'll be Dontavian Wicks or something. I don't know who it's going to be, but Jordan Love seems to be, well, you said it, he's getting to look pretty good.
That is not the same kid from the beginning of the season. He is definitely much improved.
I mean, I couldn't believe the off-balance throws with accuracy.
Right. And that's kind of scary. As a Bears fan, it's like, oh, shit, not again. No. 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 Please.
I've seen this before somewhere.
Come on. Again? Another one? Oh. Stab my eye out now with a pencil. Fuck,
yeah,
man.
Just jumping off the back foot, just chucks it up. Strike right into the end zone.
Drops it right in the bucket. Like, oh, yeah. Fuck. So, yeah, because of that, the Vikings now, they can still clinch a playoff berth. All they need to do is win and the Packers lose and the Seahawks lose and the Bucks lose. Or the Saints lose.
Uh-huh.
That's all they need.
It's not happening. This isn't like that year where I almost willed the Niners into the playoffs and everything.
Yeah, they needed
happened.
About four or five things to happen. And,
but
yeah,
the best
they all
thing
happened.
Was everything happened, but then the Niners lost.
Except for them winning the game. Yes.
Right. All the other things that needed to happen, and they would have made it in, and then they didn't take care of their own business. They didn't go to the playoffs. So they earned that one. So watch now. The Packers will lose. The Seahawks will lose. The Bucks will lose, and the Saints will lose, and then the Vikings will lose. I don't want to know what happens then.
Pandemonium. There's a lot of pandemonium situations this week.
The Falcons we'll try to win the South. Oh, God.
Oh, gosh.
Because they would have beaten the Saints. So,
yeah.
What a mess. All right. Well that's the football party. And now we get to rifle through 16 picks with the coin in 53 minutes. So all that time we made up the last few weeks, we got to earn it tonight.
Well, we're well-practiced in doing it very quickly. We'll try to cover all those scenarios. I'm sure there's some that we'll miss, but they're out there for you to find if you want to find them. So time for us to up. Oh, are you practicing already with the coin?
No, I was opening up my water bottle.
Okay. Stuck that sound. Yeah, it's time
usually
for...
Usually about this point in the show is when I switch from alcohol to water.
All right, well, it's time for us to get the rest of these picks in much less detail.
Now let's talk about some games in more detail.
And we'll do that after I play the plugs and let you know where you can find our show, assuming it's recording the way it's supposed to.
You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre when I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason's on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you can get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and go through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited.
Well, we're done with the Thursday games. We still have Saturday action, of course, tomorrow and next couple of weekends for the playoffs. But as far as Week 18 goes, all 16 games in front of us, no Twitter picks, and all of the crazy scenarios, we'll try to get to them. But we got the coin ready, we got the last regular season picks ready, and we got our locks ready, and the locks are going to come down to the last game. One of us may go over the other, or we may tie. So with all of that in front of us, let's get started. Week 18 starts tomorrow afternoon as the Steelers visit the Ravens. Pittsburgh 9-7, Baltimore 13-3. As Jay mentioned earlier, there should be some rain going on for that game. We know there's not going to be any Lamar Jackson, Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers all sitting out for the Ravens, amongst others, I'm sure. So Snoop Huntley gets to start at quarterback for Baltimore, who has locked up the number one seed in the NFC. The Steelers, of course, still trying to find their way in. They are, again, 9-7, guaranteed a regular season over 500 once again. And Steelers can go to playoff berth if they win and the Bills lose or the Jags lose. So with that, the Steelers, of course, are favored now with all those Baltimore substitutions. Pittsburgh is -3 at Baltimore.
Ah, well, that changed even from when I made the pick an hour ago. It was 3 and a hook. So that's moved back to Pittsburgh a little bit here. So we're to Baltimore. But either way, yes, Baltimore is resting everybody. But I don't think they're just going to lay down for their division rival. I don't think they're going to put the red carpet down for Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers to say, oh, come on into the playoffs, guys. I like that these games the last week are all division rivalry games, because we've seen this now happen where you get the teams that they just don't like each other. Baltimore and Pittsburgh don't like each other. Baltimore is just not going to let these guys waltz into the playoffs. We'll see if Pittsburgh's going to play everybody. They've been playing really well. However, I am going with the only Pro Bowl quarterback starting in this game. That is Tyler Huntley, and I am taking the Baltimore Ravens to at least cover here against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they make it tough for them.
I'm sure they'll give them a fight. Definitely all these division rivals are not liking each other. They all have matchups at this point from earlier in the season, of course, being division rivals. This one was in Week 5 at Pittsburgh. The Steelers won 17-10. Baltimore couldn't stop George Pickens in that one, who got 130 yards and a touchdown from Kenny Smallhands, who is not the quarterback anymore.
Well, that was
Pittsburgh,
like
it is
one good game that he
right.
had. No, I mean, up until recently, that was the game for him.
But he's been going crazy lately under Mason Rudolph. And, yeah, that's why. It's not necessarily because Baltimore's sitting everybody, although that plays a big part as well. But it's more so the way the Steelers are playing. Like, the light switch went on. I don't know how or why, but they are inspired. They know what they got to do to get in the playoffs. They got to take out the second-string Ravens. And the Ravens are – they're not going to make it easy, but they're making it a lot easier. If they were playing Lamar and everybody, that would be much more difficult. But because they're making it that much easier – only a 3-point favorite, and I think they'll beat them by a couple touchdowns. I'll take the Steelers, and I'll surprise you with my lock of the week.
Oh, locking up the Steelers.
Sir.
All right, let's see. What the it's heads is favorite, right?
Correct.
All right, and it is, it's tails.
You and the coin got the Ravens then.
Me and the coin are riding with the Ravens here. I'm going with Snoop Huntley in the weather. That could be messy.
Yeah, it could be. Saturday night will not be messy. It'll be in the Dome in Indy. as the Texans visit the Colts. Both 9-7. This is winner is in the playoffs, so that's a good matchup to put on Saturday night and isolate it. And a little bit of a bonus, if the Jags choke the next day in Tennessee, then the winner of Houston Indy would actually win the AFC South, believe it or not.
And get that home game.
That's right. Guaranteed to start at 3:30 Central next Saturday.
Yes. That's their spot.
That's right. The Texans still shorthanded in their receiving core, will not have Noah Brown available with his back injury. This one was a matchup all the way back in week two. The Colts beat the Texans 31-20 down in Houston. That feels like 6 years ago because Anthony Richardson was balling out for the Colts before he got dumplings in that game. So in this one, of course, it's C.J. Stroud against Gardner Minshew. Houston, a very slight one-point favorite in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so it basically ends up being a pick'em game here. So you go with the up-and-comer with Stroud, who and we talk about growth like we talked about with Jordan Love. We've seen C.J. Stroud through the year, even coming back from injury, comes back and looks good. What they're going to be able to do, and he has plenty of weapons against a man. If you look up just meh in the dictionary, that's this Indianapolis Colts team. They're really not good at anything, but they're not bad. They're just meh. They're there. So is that going to be good enough with Gardner Minshew and Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, and a meh defense to kind of stop the up-and-comer? Is Stroud going to be a little, you know, tighten the britches trying to get his team into the playoffs where nobody – this would be a shocker, right? Good God for D'Amico Ryans and the job that he's doing. If they can get this Houston team into the playoffs in C.J. Stroud's rookie season. This is why the Carolina owner is throwing drinks on people, by the way. I'm going to go
– not the people's fault.
I still think the Texans are the more talented team offensively, but I would not be surprised if Stroud comes out and lays an egg and they look tight just because he hasn't played in this kind of a moment yet, winner-take-all type game. Although neither has Gardner Minshew really played in many of those either. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to still take Houston and give that point.
No, I was wrestling that whole pick out the same way you were all week.
This was probably the one I struggled with the most.
Right. A lot of inexperience in this spot for both teams. Obviously, for both brand new coaches. So, yeah, good learning spot for D'Amico Ryans and Shane Steichen. They're both going to learn something from this game. I have no idea how it's going to go, but they're both going to get some experience in this test. It's tough. It's a tough pick. They're both tough in the trenches. They both control the line of scrimmage. I'm going to go with the better, I guess, ground attack to me is the Colts. I think Jonathan Taylor will make the difference and pull it through for the Colts at home over Houston. Like you said, they don't have the experience, really neither do the Colts. But, the Texans have kind of fallen off a little bit as the season's gone on, so I'm going to go with the Colts.
Yeah, well, it's easy to fall off when C.J. Stroud is gone for three games.
That does hurt. So what does coin say?
Oh, that's right. Hang on. Coin says go with the favorite.
By 1 point, that's the Houston Texans.
That's the Houston Texans. Okay, so Coin's been with me so far.
Yeah, you and Coin together tomorrow and tomorrow night for those two Saturday games.
We'll somehow split those. You know that, right?
As long as I get my lock.
No. I got to get Baltimore.
No.
And you can have Indy.
Oh, got to go the other way. All right, on to the Sunday action in the NFC South, Atlanta, New Orleans. Oh, boy. The 7-9 Falcons and the 8-8 Saints. If Tampa finds a way to lose, this game is it's for the division. It's for the NFC South title.
It's just insane.
Crazy. As far as injuries go, Bierman has an ankle. It's kind of sounded like a game time decision that Taylor Heineke might actually have to miss the game. The Falcons don't want to go to Desmond Ridder. Under any circumstances, they don't want to have to do that. But on the other side of the Saints, Alvin Kamara also has an ankle, and he's also a game time decision, and they don't want to have to go to his backup either. These two played in Week 12 in Atlanta. The Falcons won 24-15. Jesse Bates pick six, paces the Falcons defense, who blanked the Saints on five red zone trips, 0-for-5 in touchdowns in the red zone for the Saints in that game. Can the Atlanta D come through once again for them? They are cop-out line three-point dogs at the Saints.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Atlanta, I'm not going to bag on them too much because for that loss, that bad loss in Chicago last week, because I expected that. I didn't think they were going to go outside and travel north and go up into the cold and perform very well, and they did not. So I'm not going to use anything from that. I'm throwing that away completely. This is two teams. They don't like each other. We always talk about how they are sort of forever linked. They're always going to have, at some point, a field goal game. And I think this is probably going to be it. Someone's winning this game by a field goal. If that's the case, I'm taking the Falcons and the points because, you know, one side's a push, the other side's a win. I can't lose.
There you go. Art Smith coaching referendum game is another situation. Every game seems to be, does Art Smith deserve to be brought back? I know you're through with him.
I think he's done no matter what, but if he doesn't know he's done, that might help him.
He certainly doesn't know. He's got all the confidence in the world, it seems, every game. The Falcons have the athletes to take this game, but the point is they've had the athletes all year to take pretty much every game, and they just haven't been able to do it. They haven't had the quarterback or the coaching or both. So I'll say that they'll find a way to blow this one, and I'll take the Saints and give the 3 points because a touchdown win covers three.
Oh, it's, the coin is with you.
Okay. Finally.
Oh, yeah, we're really going at it here in Week 18.
Yep, 3-for-3. Cleveland-Cincinnati will be another interesting one because this is one of the very classic Week 18 spreads because of all the benchings that are happening. Of course, Cleveland, 11-5, got the division locked up. So we already know no Myles Garrett, no Joe Flacco, no Amari Cooper. Probably Eli Moore's not going to play. He's dumplings.
Right.
So everybody's sitting for the Browns. For Cincinnati, T. Higgins probably should sit with his hammy. Ja'Marr Chase and that bad shoulder is shaky, but he's probably going to play. All the way back at the beginning of the season, Week 1, Cleveland won 24-3 at home. Deshaun Watson over Joe Burrow. My, how things have changed.
Wow.
This is definitely not that. This is Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll and Jake Browning.
Uh-huh. And because of that, Cleveland is a 7-point underdog at Cincinnati.
Which is, it's just so wild. But, you know, I understand why the spread is so big. Cleveland isn't going – they have no reason. They are locked into their spot. They have no reason to run anybody out there knowing that they're not just – they're not even getting a bye. They're playing next week on the road. So, yeah, you need to – just wrap all these guys up in bubble wrap and just go set them on the bench, let them sit on the warmers, and let them just stew. So, yeah, I'm going to take Cincinnati here. I'm not going to take Jeff Driscoll to keep this game I'm sorry. I can't do it. Is this going to be any better or worse than DTR? This is now their fifth starting quarterback this season for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to the playoffs. They've started five quarterbacks this season. It was impressive enough when they did it with four, and they did it with four so well they got the chance to play a fifth and have it not matter. So good for them. I am completely appreciative of what the Browns have done this year in all of the adversity, all the craziness, but this is not going to be their day, and that's perfectly fine because this isn't going to be the Cleveland Browns. This is going to be their JV squad, and Cincinnati is – still at least at home, you know, show up, put on a nice show for the fans, get over 500, which again is, that's a minor miracle. The way their season has gone, I'll give the points.
And that team, the Browns, 11 wins and maybe 12, that team.
Yeah.
Crazy. I also am not taking Jeff Driscoll in the Cleveland Browns. I will also take the Bengals and give the seven.
Oh, well, the coin loves it some Jeff Driscoll.
Oh, Lord.
So the coin is on the dog.
That's always the one that scares us when we both have one and the coin is the opposite of us.
Just circle that for the
historically
for Jeff Driscoll right now.
Yes. Historically, you want to go with the coin there. All right. Hot AFC East action, Jets-Patriots, one of only two games in which both teams are eliminated from playoff contention. The 6-10 Jets and the 4-12 Patriots, and possibly Bill Belichick's last dance. That's the rumor has been out there for weeks and weeks and weeks that Robert Kraft has already made up his mind to the shit can, the GOAT coach at the end of the season. He'll see Trevor Siemian across the field once again for the Jets at quarterback. And they'll see some snow. So this is as ugly as it is. It might even be uglier because it's apparently supposed to be snow up there in the Northeast. In this one, in week three, they play the typical ugly game, and the Patriots beat them 15-10 in the Meadowlands. That game, if you remember, Zach Wilson was so bad that Joe Namath said on his radio show that he was done. He's seen enough. You know, when Broadway Joe says that he's seen enough of you, you know in that town you are basically a dead man walking.
You are struggling. When the man says it,
definition, the epitome of struggling.
Struggling.
In this one, the struggling Jets are +1.5 at the struggling Patriots.
I got to go strictly narrative play here. I think GOAT coach rides off into the sunset. If this is truly his last game, that team knows it. I think they play for him. They've been playing a little bit better of late. Since the Mac Jones benching, they've done a little bit with Bailey Zappe. I think that the Jets are hashtag full of quit. I think they're done. So I think they rise up here for GOAT coach. If this truly is the end, they send them out in style. They get a win here. They cover the number.
Yeah, I don't know, but this is another one I struggle. I don't know. Why do I feel like the offensive coordinators like break out their craziest stuff for this game and they shockingly get the over in the snow or something like that? This, you know, behind your back and flea flickers and everything else. It's very unlikely, but you know, stranger things have happened. I'm going with the better team, which is not the GOAT coach's team. It's the Jets. They're not better by a whole lot, but they are better than the Patriots for sure. So I will go with New York.
Okay, and dropped a coin. So it wouldn't be a show if we didn't drop the coin. Coin says, coin's with you and the Jets.
All right. Usually when I drop the coin, it like rolls all over the place.
That's
I got to get up and...
It's a nice plastic coin. It just hits the carpet and goes thud.
Yeah, that's the way to go. My coins always seem to fly and go across the room. I have to get up and take the headphones off and go chase it down and all that. So I'm glad you're doing the coin duties tonight. AFC South, Jags, Titans, as we mentioned before, Jacksonville needs to win this game in order to claim the AFC South. They have been struggling lately, but they put it together last week. They are 9-7. Tennessee is out of it at 5-11. Trevor Lawrence will try to man up, I'm guessing, and play tomorrow, even though he's got that shoulder that kept him out of last week's game. Looks like Christian Kirk wants to return as well. His best target, or one of his two best targets, who's been missing the last few weeks with a groin injury, and Zay Jones has a knee, but he looks like he's going to try to play too. I think everyone's going to try to like grit through and man up, even though they're banged up right now. For Tennessee, one more episode of the Tanny Show, as Mayo Boy hurt his ankle last week, so Ryan Tannehill, one more started quarterback for the Titans. Tennessee went to Jacksonville in Week 11, got housed 34-14. Mayo Boy was overmatched in that one. Jags actually led that one 27-0, so it could have been even worse than it was.
That was a different Jags team then.
Much different, a whole different scenario. But they're trying to get better and get back to it tomorrow. Yeah. They are, or on Sunday, I should say. Jags are 4-point favorites in Tennessee.
I love my narrative plays, because sometimes in Week 18, that's all you got, right? So this is the revenge spot. This is the spot that these two teams were in last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jags ended up winning and then completing the collapse of the Tennessee Titans. Oh, and now who plays each other? And one team trying to complete the collapse of the other. possibly to the point where they could knock the Jags all the way out of even winning the division. And, yeah, I'm taking the Titans. I'm taking Mike Vrabel. I think they gut it out. I got that cheap cover with the Tanny Show a couple of weeks ago against Seattle. I don't think this is just going to be a Jaguars cakewalk. This isn't the Panthers. This is another hated division rival. You know, you're in their building, Tennessee, much better team at home than they are on the road. The Jags, they don't have a home, but that's the Jags for you. You know, can't really take too much off of how they looked last week because they were playing the worst team in football, and it's not even close. So I'm going to take Tennessee here to play the spoiler and cover that number, trying to keep the Jags out of the playoffs and returning the favor from last year.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me, too. Talk about two teams I don't trust at all. Yeah, the Titans, four of their five wins this year at home in Nashville. But the Jags, six of their nine wins outside of Duval, because, as you said, they don't have a home field advantage.
No, they're better off on the road.
As you've always said, yes. My heart wants to see one more classic Vrabel effort from the Titans, but I don't think they have the fight. I think they're done. I don't know if Vrabel's getting fired or not, but it feels like the sort of the end of an era. Like Derrick Henry's going to be a free agent. I don't see them bringing him back. Like it feels like the whole thing's over. Tannehill's a free agent. So I think they sort of peter out, and the Jags come and do what they're supposed to do. They righted the ship last week. I know that was against the Panthers, but I didn't think they even had that much in them, obviously. So, I think they're going to take it to the Titans and take that game and cover the four.
Well, the coin is with you on this one.
Okay. And take the division title that they should have had wrapped up a long time ago, frankly.
That's what I mean. You got to watch out for these games like this, where these teams, they sniff that blood. And you know that that's the talk, right? You know that's the...
Mm-hmm.
That's the material, right? That's what you're pumping up your team with. Hey, these guys knocked us out last year. Let's go return that favor. I mean, that it writes itself, I think.
Yeah, if they do that, I wouldn't be surprised necessarily. On to the NFC North, Minnesota and Detroit. The Lions have wrapped up, of course, the division. And the 7-9 Vikings somehow are still alive mathematically.
Yeah.
They got as many scenarios to make it in as I think the Bills have a million scenarios, and the Vikings, is already red. Green Bay, Seattle, Tampa, all have to lose, or New Orleans. But they're still there, so you say, and there's a chance. They go back to Nick Mullins, a quarterback, because they can sneak in if a whole bunch of other teams lose. And
yeah,
they can't go back to the Hall kid, because that is not the answer. Lions will not have Jameson Williams a receiver. He's got an ankle injury. They haven't said they're going to sit a bunch of people, but it wouldn't surprise me if they do, because they really don't have anything to play for except seeding. These two teams played a couple weeks ago. Detroit went to Minnesota, beat them 30-24. Nick Mullins kept the Vikings in the game, and then he made some terrible plays at the end, and he kept the Lions in the game, and that's what he does. And Detroit actually clinched the North in that game. Lions are still the favorite at home, even though they have nothing to play for. Vikings are plus +3 and a hook at the Lions.
Yeah, this is a weird one to me. I know they're playing the most coy of some of the teams, because will they, won't they is really the theme this week for the Lions, because they're still playing for seeding. They would need a lot of help in the afternoon games. They would need both NFC East teams to lose, but you can put the pressure on with a win. I don't think that they, you know, just lay down, get that tune up for the, they're going to be right back at home next week anyways, but I still think it's enough for them to tune up. The Vikings, like you said, Nick Mullins is going to keep both teams in the game. And I think there's going to be sections of this game where it looks like this is going to be an easy Vikings cover. And then he could just turn that right around on its head, and that just evaporates, and it evaporates quickly. The Vikings are a bit of a rudderless ship at that position since Kirk Cousins got hurt, and they had a little bit of a flash from Dobbs, a little bit of a flash from Mullins, and nothing from Jaren Hall. So I still think that you say the better team, like you did with New England and the Jets. I still think the better team just wins, and I'll take Detroit here.
They should win. But the problem is, how much are they going to try to win, and how long are their guys going to try to play to win before they start getting benched? Lions, don't forget to declare yourself eligible. Don't forget. Don't. They should just do that every play. Every play, they should just run all 11 guys at the refs, and some of them declare and some of them don't, and they all just kind of stand around and look at them. It feels like the kneecap biters maul Minnesota for a half and then sit their starters and let them come back and get a backdoor cover. So I hate that hook. I'm going to take the Vikings plus the 3.5.
We've only agreed on one game?
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be one of those weeks.
I really do hate week 8. We should just stop picking week 18. Coins with you.
Okay. Go Vikings. On to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. Tampa Bay should have had their division taken care of, but they did not get the job done. So now they have to win this game. Or I guess they could tie and the Saints could lose, and that would be another way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So just winning in. That's the easiest way. The Bucs win and they clinch the NFC South. The 8-8 Bucs, the 2-14 Panthers. Baker Mayfield is all beat up at this point of the season, but he's going to play with those bad ribs. No way he's missing this one with a chance to clinch the whole thing, of course. In Week 13, Tampa barely won 21-18 at home over the Panthers.
Yep.
At that point, the Bucs had, you know, one play, their only play, Baker to Mike Evans, go deep.
Right.
That was the only thing they were doing. That was good enough for the win, but not for the cover. They didn't cover the hook there. There's a little more than a hook here now. Tampa is -4.5 at Carolina.
Yeah, well, good news for the Bucs. They got their, you know, they got it out of their system last week. They got turnover happy against the Saints. They're going to play the worst team in football. I don't think the Panthers are going to acquit themselves here for anything. They are toast. I cannot lock up the Bucs, which is a shame that I did it last week because I would have loved to do it here. I'll take Tampa. I'll give the points. They take care of business. They take care of the business they couldn't take care of last week.
Yeah, this would be the time where Carolina decides to break out and have another great game, one more great game to end the season or something. It would be just my luck. No, I'm going to concur and take Tampa and give the 4.5. The Bucs did stumble last week. Can they recover? Will the Panthers give them any fight? I don't think they will. But what do I know? I definitely don't trust that game, but I'll take Tampa with you.
Well, it's okay. The coin is on an underdog streak here. It likes Carolina.
Oh, well, we're screwed. Put all your DFS on Bryce Young tomorrow or Sunday.
No, I'm not putting a nickel on Bryce Young. I don't think I have all year.
Nor should you. All right. Dallas, Washington in the NFC East is the beginning of our late afternoon slate. Dallas takes the East with a W, and Washington is in Tank City. So this should be very easy, and it is the biggest spread of the week. No surprise there. On Thanksgiving, the Cowboys absolutely scalped the Potato Skins 45-10.
Yeah.
That struggling Washington D after canning Jack Del Rio, they offered no resistance. I guess Jack Del Rio wasn't the problem after all. Washington can't even use the quarterback they want to use in this situation, Jack Brisket, because he hurt himself in practice. So they got to stick with Sam Howell for the entire season. He's going to wind up starting every game, as it turns out, even though that's not what Chico wants, I'm sure. Cowboys are -13 at the team Manderskins.
What I love about this, I mean, we haven't had a Deron Bland house call in a while, have we?
No, we haven't.
This would be the spot. The Cowboys have everything that the Team Manderskins do not. and they need the win. So they're playing for something. They're playing against a division opponent. These guys don't like each other, but Washington has no resistance here. I don't believe that Washington's going to be able to do very much. Even if Dallas only wins by half as much as they won by last time, that still covers. I'll give them all. It's a big number. It's week 18. Crazy shit happens, but this is a team playing for their destiny, their future. Like, they control it. They have to just go out there and roll up the Team Manderskins. There's always, with the spread this big, the threat of some weird shenanigan in garbage time, but that's what Duran Bland is there for. He's going to take that 20-point lead and make it a 27-point lead, but it doesn't matter.
You don't have to look very far for weird shit to happen because just last year the Cowboys needed a big win in Week 18 in Washington and got embarrassed. So is this another classic Cowboy flop or is it a classic Sam Howell flop? Dak was terrible last year. Will he repeat that? I don't think so. I think Dak is on a different level this year. He's not going to win the MVP or anything, but he's definitely a different dude this season. Those losses that they've had against good teams have not been him like completely melting down. He hasn't been quite as good as his wins, but he's been dominant in those wins. He's been like incredibly dominant. So, yeah, I think this will be another dominant performance, even though it's not at home. I'll concur with you and give the 13.
Coins on the dog again.
Yep. Wow. Okay.
Washington in the points. I don't know if I'm just flipping. Maybe I'm just in a rhythm on my flips here. I got to change it up. Flip it a little higher.
It is random. That's why it's a coin flip. It could come up 14 tails in a row. You never know.
And this is push territory, right? 13-point spread. So it could be pushy.
It very well might. In the NFC West, the Rams and the 49ers, San Fran, number one seed clinch. So no Brock Purdy, no Christian McCaffrey, and whatever other decent players they have should sit at some point, even if they do play or start. But the Rams say, hold my beer, watch this. They're locked in at the 6 or 7 seed, so they've already said no Stafford, no Cooper Kupp, no Kyron Williams, no Aaron Donald, just no chance for any of those guys playing. So basically it's backup versus backup in that situation. These two played all the way back in Week 2. Niners came into SoFi and won 30-23. Sean McVay in that one down 10. Got a last-second field goal to cover 7.5. There's no reason for him to have done that except to cover the
score. Oh, we had an award for that.
You remember it.
Mm-hmm. I remember that because that hurt so bad.
Yep. Yeah, that was all Niners except for that last field goal. So we'll see in this one with the backups versus backup bowl, Rams are +4 at the Niners.
It's not just backups versus backups. It's Carson Wentz versus Sam Darnold. Man, I'm just going to go with the team I think has better backups, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. And Sam Darnold, in limited time, looked good in the absence of Brock Purdy in that one game that he just kind of got thrown into. We kind of gave them a little bit of a spark late, so I was like, at least I've seen something out of him recently. What have we seen from Carson Wentz? I want to see some left-handed
Nothing.
Jump passes out of his own end zone. That's what I want to see. Well, that's my lasting image of the great Carson Wentz. I'll go ahead. I'll take the Niners here just on talent. I'll take Jordan Mason and Ronnie Bell all day long.
Eli Mitchell might make an appearance as well. I'll concur. You take the best backups. I'll take the better coaching. I think Kyle Shanahan will knock off Sean McVay.
Coin likes the Rams. Coin is
does.
Going underdogs like on a roll here. We might
Coin's
be.
Coin's got the middle finger out for both of us this week. This is not good.
Yeah.
This is going to be ugly. I got a feeling. Speaking of ugly, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are playing as ugly as you can get, and the New York Giants, who are already eliminated and have been playing ugly the entire season. The Eagles are 11-5, the Giants 5-11. The Eagles still take the East if the Cowboys manage to lose to Washington again, as they did last year, and Philly beats the Giants. So they're not all the way out of it yet, but they are slipping very slowly down the slope. Devontae Smith is out with a bad ankle. Darius Slay, the cornerback, is out with a bad knee. These teams played just a couple weeks ago. Philly won somehow 33-25. The Giants had no business staying close in that game, but Philly got it together to close the game out at least. So that one they won, they did not cover. In this one, they have a lot less points to cover. They are only -5.5 at the G-Men.
Yeah, but what sparked the Giants to cover that was the benching of Danny DeVito and Tyrod Taylor being brought into the game, and suddenly they started being able to move the football through the air. Tyrod Taylor, I hate to say, he's a better quarterback than Danny DeVito. Tyrod Taylor has actually had meaningful wins in this league, which is something Danny DeVito had a couple of, and I wouldn't quite call them meaningful. Boy, as dysfunctional as the Eagles are right now, I still think that's too much. I think the Giants, these teams, these division games in the last week, these teams love to spoil shit for the other team. I think that Giants at home, in front of the home fans, they've got a team coming in that's down. They just lost to Arizona. Like, that was supposed to be the bounce-back spot. Now they're going on the road to play a hated division rival. This can't just be a, hey, we're back, we're the Eagles, we're going to bounce back from this. You know, we could see another 80-yard touchdown pass to Darius Slayton or Saquon Barkley decides to go off because nobody on the Eagles defense is doing anything, and now they're missing parts on top of being bad. Yeah, I'll take the Giants. Thought I was going to lock that up, but I'm not.
You were on a roll there. It definitely sounded like it. Tyrod awaits once again. He is an actual professional quarterback, and the Philadelphia defense isn't ready on any level. I concur. I will also take the Giants. I think they're going to win the game.
All right. And oh, shit.
Another underdog?
Another, but that's us.
That's we actually have the underdog this time. There we go.
All right.
Is that the first one that all three of us are the same? Let me.
I think so.
Yeah, it is. Sure is.
Wow. That locked that one up. We should have locked that up.
Yeah, we really should. All right, NFC North.
Yeah.
Bears-Packers. Here we go. 7-9 Bears, 8-8 Packers. Packers are still alive. They need this win to make it to the playoffs.
Winning, they're in.
Yep, they need this to get in. And even if they lose, there's other scenarios.
Right.
But yeah, winning their end, that's the easiest way to take care of that. Bears will once again not have Darnell Mooney. He's still embarrassed from fucking up that Hail Mary.
I think he's still laying there. seriously, he's just laying. Was that in Cleveland?
He never got off the turf in Cleveland. He's still laying,
he's just laying there
on the ground.
Yeah.
For the Packers, they're going to have a whole bunch of guys try to get up and give it a go. Jaden Reed, as you said, had a chest injury, but he's going to try to play. Christian Watson trying to finally come back from that hammy that had him down for the last couple of weeks. But they will not have running back A.J. Dillon with that bad thumb. These teams played all the way back in week one. Not a good memory for me. Packers went into Soldier Field, beat them 38-20.
That was Aaron Jones' show.
Yeah, that was my failed week one lock, which turned into my letdown of the week because I thought the Bears should have taken care of Jordan Love, and they did not. The Bears
Jordan
still
Love
owned by Green Bay.
But since then, they're both better. Both of those teams are better
than
where they were at that point. So that makes this a compelling game.
It is. It's not an easy pick at all. Bears are the cop-out 3-point underdog at the Pack.
Yeah, boy. Talk about a tough pick. This is another one I kind of struggled with because there's all sorts of ways that this can go. The Packers are beat up, but then you have the Bears who have been playing offensively and defensively trending up. This is sort of the referendum on Justin Fields, right? Every week is a referendum on Justin Fields. There's spots where you see, like, they want the Bears to win so that the Bears keep Justin Fields. And then there's places where you hear they want him to lose, so they get rid of him and they draft Caleb Williams and then they ship him off. And I don't know. I have my thoughts on that whole situation. I think they should keep Fields and trade the number one pick after what they just did to Carolina, and you can just keep making your team better that way.
Tyson Bajan.
I'm not a Bears fan. I'm looking at this objectively. There are people who are, you know, looking at this not objectively. We're going to have a completely different opinion, and if they want to start all over again with a brand-new quarterback in that city, and okay, go for it. And Jordan Love has been going nuts for the Packers. 34 touchdowns on the season now total. I think he's the third. That number three in the league, by the way. Jordan Love, that guy, who at some stretches during the middle of the season looked completely lost. That offense wasn't going anywhere. And now you've seen him grow with all of these, like, sort of no-name receivers, like Bo Melton, Tucker Kraft, Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton. These zero Pro Bowlers from the Packers, by the way. And they're winning. They get into the playoffs. So all that being said, two teams trending up. You know, Bears defense has been playing better. They've been running out to big leads and then sort of like collapsing late. They didn't collapse against Atlanta, but otherwise you knew you were waiting for it. but I could see a situation like that where they come out, they're hot, they get up, and then they just sort of fizzle away, and then it sort of chips away, and the Packers come out with a really, really cheap late win, like they always do against the Bears. But I'll still take the Bears and the points, because a push, it doesn't really matter at this point. But I can see the Bears losing by one or two as well. Packers love these close games.
They do. The Bears love close games. They don't play any blowouts except for last week.
Last week, yeah.
But the Bears are feeling so much pressure, even though they're eliminated. It's hard to imagine a team feeling more pressure that doesn't have any playoff aspirations. It's one more coach QB referendum game. It's not just Fields. It's the coach as well, because now they're talking about keeping Eberflus, which I've been done with him for a long time.
Didn't this just happen a few seasons ago with Nagy? Yeah. Where he was toast, and then they got hot, and then they kept him, and they regretted it.
Yeah, sure did.
So you want them to lose hard, I'm guessing, as a Bears fan.
A part of me, yeah. I mean, it's always hard to watch your team lose, but a part of me does kind of want the. But then again, does that, you know, hurt the Justin Fields opinion? Because I think he should be a made man. Like, I think he's done enough to prove that if you get him a coach that doesn't have his head up his ass, that he can actually be very good for your franchise.
Yeah, he's earned a shot. I don't think he's earned the bag, but I think he's earned a shot. He should be the starter.
I mean, his contract is coming up, so you're going to have to give him the bag at some point.
I know.
Either that or franchise him for fucking $70 million a year. You don't want to do that either.
He hasn't earned the bag. I know that.
So there's another referendum on those guys. There's a lot of heat there. It's a good matchup of QBs who have improved as the season went on. Chicago may not win, but they won't get pounded like the opener, I don't think. I'm still going to take Green Bay and give the 3 because it feels more like they win by 4 or 5 than it does the Bears lose by 2 or something. But it should be interesting.
All right. Well, the coin finally has a favorite. It's the Packers.
All right. Coin's with me on that one. This is a rare occasion where you...
We had been agreeing a lot there, and now we've gone back to disagreeing.
The rare occasion where you will almost never be alone on Chicago. That's just not something you would ever do. But this is it. This is, you got the Bears by yourself.
I'm bear whispering.
Oh no. No, that doesn't work. It's a conference. It's a division game.
And it's not prime time.
That's right. All right, Seattle, Arizona in the NFC West. The Seahawks at 8-8 still have a chance. They win and Green Bay loses, and that's how Seattle can make the playoffs with a 9-8 record. A lot of defensive injuries for the Seahawks in order to pull that off, though. They did beat the Cardinals in Week 7, 20-10. Josh Dobbs couldn't work his magic and pull that out. And neither could Clayton Toon, because they had a stupid fake field goal in that game where Clayton Toon threw a 3-yard pass on 4th and 9. It's like, what the fuck? That was my WTF of that week. A lot of fun memories in some of these games. In any event, the Seahawks are a 3-point road favorite at the Cardinals.
I think Seattle is sort of going all Victory Auto Wreckers car here on us at the end. They are not looking good. They barely beat Tennessee. They got beat last week by Pittsburgh in Seattle, and now they get to go play Arizona, who has been playing a lot better. Their record is terrible, but I would say they're trending in all the right directions. That offense has been looking better, James Conner. And this is a team that's so bad, they have no reason to really bench anybody. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to take Arizona here to spoil it for the Seahawks. I'm playing a lot of spoiler angles this week.
Yeah. I concur with this one. Kyler and the Cards finishing strong. They should handle the Seahawks, who physically are coming apart. So I'm with you.
And, Arizona's the underdog. Yeah.
Yes.
All of us
are right.
Arizona Cardinals.
Yes. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. Put that on the board. In the AFC West, the Broncos and the Raiders. Denver at 8-8 and the Raiders at 7-9. Denver, boy, they need to. Are they still in it?
No,
they're eliminated.
Yeah. They benched Russell Wilson when they were still in it, and then they got eliminated.
Yeah, this is the other game of teams that are both eliminated. There's not many of them. There's only two, and this is the second one. Who's playing in this one? Cortland Sutton should return from being dumplings to work with Jared Stidham. Josh Jacobs will not play for the Raiders with the quad injury. These two met in week one. Raiders got the victory 17-16 at Denver. Russell Wilson looked a lot better, markedly better than he did last season under Nate Hackett, and it's still didn't matter.
Still wasn't good enough.
And this one, another cop-out line, Broncos +3 at the Raiders.
I'm going with the team here that seems to actually be playing for their coach. It doesn't hate him. And that's the Las Vegas Raiders, the LV Raiders here. I'm taking them. I don't trust what Denver's doing. Sean Payton has probably set that franchise back with all of his Russell Wilson shenanigans. Devontae Adams came out this week fully in support of Antonio Pierce. I think that team rallies for him. I'm locking up the Raiders this week.
Okay, that did surprise me. I did not see that one coming. But I concur. Payton and the Broncos, if they fall to the Raiders, nobody to blame but themselves. Can't blame Russell Wilson. He's on the sideline.
Coyne wants the Broncos.
Oh, well. Well, we gave it a good try. All right, Chiefs, speaking of giving it a good try, Chiefs-Clippers. KC still giving it a try, but not really. They're not going to play Patrick Mahomes or most of their other starters. They're locked in at 10-6. Clippers at 5-11. Once again, will not have Keenan Allen, but Josh Palmer might try to get out there for one more game. In week 7, KC destroyed the Chargers 31-17. That was your favorite game of the year because not only was Tay-Tay in the house, but crazy Asian lady, that crazy Chargers fan, was there as well. You would have loved that game. You would have wanted to bomb the stadium with both of those people in it.
Man. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce were the real stars in that game, not those two.
Yeah.
In this one, KC is actually +3.5 at Easton Stick in the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers here. We've seen these Mahomes-less games, and they usually kind of go splat for the Chiefs. They are a completely different team without him holding that thing together. They have very little at the skill positions, so you need Mahomes to lead that team. I'll just take the Chargers here at home. I don't think Andy Reid and the Chiefs, I don't think they give a shit about this game at all. They're thinking about the playoffs right now. And what the fact they actually have to play next week, which they aren't used to, doesn't, you know, ring well for them either in this game. They're already in wild card, super mega wicked wild card weekend, yay sports. I'll take the Chargers here and give the points.
I concur. Chiefs are all resting. Chargers should roll.
All right. And, okay, we're all on the Chargers.
All right. All right, the main event, the last game of the season, Sunday Night Football, Buffalo, Miami.
Damn.
For all the marbles for the AFC East Championship, although the Dolphins can still are locked in, actually.
They're in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely in the playoffs one way or the other. Bills, they got some work to do if they lose this game. They're 10-6, they're the favorite somehow. Miami, they're playing everybody. Cheetah will try to catch fire on the field, not off. Jalen Waddle is iffy, though, with that ankle. He didn't play last week. He's going to try to come back and play. Buffalo is the favorite, -2.5 at Miami.
Yeah, Miami is playing for one thing and one thing only, and that is to just keep the Buffalo Bills out of the playoffs, right?
Yes.
That's it. You're in the playoffs, and you're just – this is very similar to Baltimore, but Miami and Baltimore, they're not on the same level, which we saw last week. My only worry for the Bills is – do they Bills all over this game, you know, and just do what they've been doing? They get handed all the prosperity. They win. They're in. They win the division. And then do they just go, bleh, you know, and just gag the whole thing up, which would be very Bills-like the way this season has gone for them. I'm going to trust the Bills one last time, although I'm very late coming to this pick. I was on Miami all week, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give the points and take the Bills.
I understand that. I understand the money going on Buffalo. It sounds good that the Bills finished their big big rally, going to Miami, just got whipped in Baltimore and completing the job. But Buffalo's had 4 or 5 weeks to show me that they've put it all together. I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced. They're just not sharp still. They almost lost last week. They're not the Bills. They're not what they're supposed to be. They won week 4 over Miami 48-20. That was the week after Miami hung 70 on Denver. That's what Buffalo could look like. That's when they're playing their best. That's what they are supposed to look like. They haven't looked like that since that game, basically. I'm taking the Miami Dolphins to knock them off. I hate to do that. That's my Super Bowl team, but
you might be knocking your team out of the playoffs.
I might be, but they don't look like the team that I picked to win the Super Bowl. They just don't, and it's not their fault, you know, completely.
The coin agrees with you. Okay. I was on Miami all week, and then I just got this like, I don't know if that is enough motivation for them to put, especially if there's an injury or it's very easy to say you're going to be there. This isn't like the Ravens, where I just think their backups are going to win. This is how motivated is Miami to keep up that level of intensity, you know? And I know they're playing for the division, which should be enough, but then they still got the safety blanket. The Bills don't have the safety blanket. They have to play their best game. And they seem to have the Dolphins' number. I don't know.
They do.
You know, in the last year they did it to them. You know, and then they knocked them out in the playoffs against the backup. So we'll see. Well, I just, you know, a field goal covers here. Yeah, I guess. I mean, we disagreed on probably like, what, 9?
It was a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, all of that motivation is in Miami's favor to me. Like, they know the Bills have been owning them. They want to break that streak. They want the division championship. They want that home date. They know they're better at home. It's the prime time game. It's the spotlight game, the season ender. They've never been in that spot. They want to perform. And I think Mike McDaniel I think he's on the autism spectrum anyway, but I think he's that type of a competitive freak that he wants this game because of all those reasons and because he wants to just win every game. Like, I think he's one of those crazy, crazy people. So, and I think they want to get sharp. I think they want to sharpen their that offense that's been very, you know, very good most of the year, but not perfect. A little hit or miss the last month or so. I think they want one more game to sharpen themselves up and put themselves where they think they should be. So I think Miami's going to be plenty
more. I was with you all week, and then I don't know if it's just my hipster J Buffalo Bills pride or something. I was on Miami, like, thinking that was going to be like the cool pick, you know. And I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. I still might even change my mind on this one. I don't know. I might.
We got two nights.
But I could Twitter this, you know. I could Twitter this on Saturday or Sunday and be like, oh, or call you or text you or say something like, nah, it's not working for me. I got this bad feeling. So I still have a bad feeling for the Bills. Like, they're somehow going to go all this way and be right at the cusp and then lose. That would be perfect for this season for the Bills, wouldn't it?
It would. We flip-flop. I was on Buffalo all week and then decided to do Miami.
Oh,
but
yeah, I figured you were all over Buffalo on this one. You had them winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm all for the narrative. And, you know, the narrative has been they know for the last month or so they got to play, you know, their ass off and win every game in order to even have a chance at the playoffs. And here they are. They've pulled themselves up to this level. But it's just the way they've done it. In all those games, I just have not been convinced. You know, outside of that one where they ran all over the Cowboys, I've not been convinced that they're at that level, that they're, you know, they're playing at that level to finish the job and take out the Dolphins. I don't think they're playing well enough. It's just that simple.
Right.
It's particularly Project. Like, he's got those tendencies still. Even he knows that his dumbass plays and his arm punts is what fired Ken Dorsey. And he's still doing it. They don't all get caught. But he's still making those yaha plays where it's just like, it's just calling. You don't have to do that all the time. I understand sometimes you want to be the hero. Sometimes you want to make the crazy, but he does it way too often. It's in his DNA. It's what he does, and it's who he is. I understand that. And you have to take that. You have to take the good with the bad with players like that. But he just does that too often, and he's going to really cost his team. You know, it might happen Sunday night. He might have the game, you know, it might be tied late, and he does one of those stupid yaha throws. And goes, you know, to the other team. He's just too erratic for me.
Yeah. And also Miami, though. No Bradley Chubb, no Xavier Howard. They're beat up.
Yeah, their defense has really been getting hammered.
Well, we saw that last week.
Yeah.
And then you lose Bradley Chubb. That's what I mean. It's like, what does the intestinal fortitude start looking like for them if there's injuries? Or does Buffalo recognize some weakness and then go heavy on the ground game? Is this a James Cook game? I don't know. This is why this is the last game. It's clearly the best game on the schedule. It's the game with the most stakes.
Right.
Perfect way to end the season. Hopefully by that point, I'm not just, you know, desperate for a win because I hate week 18 in general. I hate it more than week 2.
we're different on 8. So if you want to change that Buffalo pick before Sunday night, it might be 7.
It might be 7 by the time we get there. But we're already different on 2 tomorrow night. I mean, hell, I might just need to agree with you to stop the bleeding at that point.
I hope so. Especially the first game. I hope everything goes well very early for me with my lock.
Yeah, because that puts the pressure on me with the Raiders. I know that I knew my lock was you were going to be a million miles away from my lock.
I did not see that coming.
I never
see it coming if you lock the Raiders. That's for sure.
I'm anti Denver at this point.
Yeah.
I know they won with Jared, but then come on, who'd they beat? With the Chargers?
Denver? They beat Eastern State. Congratulations.
Yay. Good job, guys.
Right.
I think the Raiders are playing for Antonio Pierce. They want him to get the full-time gig.
And they're clearly a different team since he took over. I mean,
if the Chiefs had continued falling on their face, the door was open for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Incredible. Well, it's been a crazy season with a lot of different twists and turns and a lot of teams going directions that we did not see coming. And I'm really interested in the playoffs starting because this is more teams in the playoffs that have, you know, glaring weaknesses and holes and are not playing very well than I can remember in a long time. Like if the Jaguars make it and the Eagles and the Chiefs, like these are all teams that I don't know if they're going to survive a opening weekend because they all fatal flaws.
I was about to say, I don't want to call anything, but we could have a bloodbath wild card weekend.
Yeah.
Where you have teams that are wild card teams, more so in the AFC. The NFC, Tampa is playing Philly or Dallas at this, you know. They probably want Philly. You know. But the Rams, I mean, if you've got a potential matchup right now of Rams-Lions, I mean, that's fun. I just think that's a fun matchup. You know, Sean McVay and then, you know, ankle biters. There's some fun matchups.
And obviously Stafford going back to Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking that offense with Kyron Williams. Oh, yeah. That could be a fun game. And Detroit hosting a home game for the first time in 30 years. Cleveland. Joe Flacco's going somewhere. Right now, it's the AFC. I mean, it looks like it's going to be Cleveland at the AFC South winner.
That could be a bloodbath, yeah.
That's wild, right? I mean, yeah, you could have Cleveland at any one of Jacksonville, Houston, or Indy.
Here's one off the board that might be a shocker. How about if the Cowboys and the 2 seed survive and looking as great as they've looked at home and then wind up having to host a red hot Jordan Love and the Packers. That could be a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be a huge number. I mean, that's probably an 8-point spread. So there's some,
yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Jordan Love first time, although injury. Yeah. I think that's, All the Cowboys, yeah.
It's the Cowboys. I didn't think about that.
I'm telling you right now, they're giving like eight and a half. At least I think it opens there. Maybe, you know, it might juice down for because it's also the Packers, the other America's team.
No, I think the Cowboys will flood it. I think they might push it to double digits before the kickoff.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. But that's a sneaky spot, so we'll see. I mean, but first they have to take care of business and beat the Bears.
Right.
Because they lose to the Bears, it could be Seattle, it could be New Orleans, it could be Minnesota, it could be Atlanta.
That's why I think that might be a surprise upset, because I'm not looking at anyone else in the seventh seed and thinking that they're going to go into Dallas and win. But the Packers, some reason I think that might be the one. I'm just wondering, just kind of thinking out loud.
You know what makes sense for that? I get what you're saying. I live here, so I see more of this team, but they're like the too dumb to know any better team right now.
Right. You don't want to play them because they don't know anything.
Right. Going into that spot, they'd be just, you know, I mean, obviously Matt LaFleur's coached in the playoffs, but most of the rest of that team, especially your skill players, they're all new. They don't know any better. They're just going to go out and they're going to play. But I think they need to get healthy. That's a completely different team. If they can be doing what they're doing and throw Christian Watson back into the mix and get Musgrave back. I mean, but the positive side of all those guys being out is all these other guys have stepped up.
And that would be one of those deals where they're too dumb to know any better. That would be, you know, Romeo Doubs would decide that day to go for 150 and two TDs, you know?
Right.
Just
Jaden
because.
Reed or, yeah, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I get it.
That's why Seattle, like New Orleans, games. None of them scare me in that seventh.
Oh, no. Saints are going down there and getting destroyed. Seattle's been – they are – there's teams that there's teams I don't want to get in just because I know they're an automatic out, and they're one of them.
They're the victory auto wreckers. They're just kind of boom, 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 just piece by piece getting in at the last second.
I didn't call them that, or did I call somebody else that?
You might have called them that. It's a long show.
Yeah, I think I called them that victory auto records card because that's what it looked like for them. Yeah, because they let your boy they got the cheap cover for me and Tanny. And then they looked really bad losing to Pittsburgh.
So I knew I heard it somewhere.
Yeah, I think that was me talking about Seattle because they have been wildly disappointing the last few weeks.
And that's coming off of finding some W's where you wouldn't necessarily think, you know, with Drew Locke and all that.
God, that last second, what was that, the Philly one?
Was it Philly? Oh, yeah, because they toasted James Bradbury up and down the
James
field.
James Bradbury dog-walked him. We had awards for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
I'm pretty sure, hang on, let me go back here. I think he got my...
James struggling.
Bradbury gets cooked on fast. That's struggling. I wrote right here, James Bradbury gets cooked, and I've capitalized cooked on final drive.
Struggling.
Yep, I remember.
But, yeah, for the first time ever, I think I gave – I don't know. We've been doing this, 2 years now, given the awards. It feels like longer, but
yeah.
I think this is the first time I've ever given best of the week to the same one to the same thing back-to-back. It just says week 17 and week 18. I just wrote, that's so Ravens. Except for week 18.
That's not so Ravens.
I wrote that so Ravens again.
But that would be so Raven to look like that and then get in the division round and get cooked at home. That would be so Ravens.
That would be so Ravens. Yeah, oh, God, like that San Diego, they were still in San Diego back then. The Chargers came in there and Lamar Jackson, I mean, it was so bad. Remember, they wanted Flacco to come in there in the fourth quarter because I think that was still Philip Rivers limping around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yep, I remember that
Lamar
game.
Jackson,
it was ugly.
Quarter. Yeah, it was, and then in the fourth quarter, he did some Dak time, but it was way too little, way too late.
Right. So that's always out there when you talk about the Ravens. We respect them, but at the same time, we know don't ever trust them fully until they prove
it.
You know.
Right. This is any of these. You've heard this from all of these players, all of the big quarterbacks who've started off their careers and had early playoff struggles, right? That's why I made a point to say the difference for me with Lamar Jackson this year is that he looks good late.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't his, you know, the first, it wasn't his September where he threw 17 touchdowns and had two picks. And then he does the victory auto wreckers. You know? No, what he did last week, everybody was talking. All the talking heads, all the socials were, well, he's the MVP. Yeah, okay. In a season where there's been all this, it's been very nebulous about who's going to be the MVP. There hasn't been like that clear-cut guy. And then he goes through the run late that he just went through against San Fran in Miami. Sure, why not give it to him?
Well, that's why I think the MVP discussion stuff is so useless and sort of right. Arbitrary, because what if the Ravens defense comes back on those games and gives up those great games and goes leads that Lamar got? Would he still be the MVP or not? Because thank goodness the defense held together for him when he got those big plays and put those big games together.
Yeah.
But it's just because the defense held up is why you're saying Lamar is the MVP. No other reason.
Well, it's hard to have your defense, you know, shit the bed when you give up 50, when you score 56.
Okay, in that one, yeah, but the San Francisco game, they, you know, the 34, we've seen them give up 35 in situations like that. It's only a function of the defense holding up is why they, because I was going to bring that up during the show, but I decided not to, but the rush to everyone for Lamar for MVP after those two games is like, okay, where was that a couple weeks ago? Because
they were so under the radar.
Yeah.
People just woke up to this like, oh, okay, yeah, you beat the Niners. Okay, you got our attention. And then they go and they do that to the Dolphins. They're like, oh.
Right.
I get it now.
Okay, well, yeah, two great wins, of course. Can't, you know, I'm not taking anything away from that. But you know, what happened to the half season that Tua had? What happened to the three quarters of a season that Purdy had? Just throw all of that away because of these two wins?
Tyreek Hill. This is why we do our award differently. We don't just go to the most recent chalk, you know, and say who the most valuable player is.
Yeah, I don't know who my shit's going to be. Probably won't be Lamar because he's been really good all year, but he hasn't really made me go, oh, he's the shit. You know?
I mean, they played the Niners and the Dolphins, two of the best teams in the league, and they scored 89 points in two games. That's pretty good.
That's great.
But that's
again,
why we
it's...
give them weekly awards. We're not giving away mm-hmm. MVPs.
No.
Not yet.
the reason that they're talking Lamar for MVP is because the defense held those two unbelievable offenses down. That's why they won those games, not just because of Lamar. It wasn't again, it's always a team effort, and it just kind of got lost with all the MVP discussion. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm
the defense
saying.
Made the plays, and then that offense just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling some more.
Yeah.
Boy, it's late.
That it is. Past midnight. Wow.
It's my birthday. It's my birthday. Nope. It's my birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. You joined the 48 Club now.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. So my daughter said she was going to set her alarm for 12:01 and get up and come. She said she was going to come wake me up at midnight to wish me happy birthday. I said, Trini, I'm still going to be up.
Yeah.
I said, what? Yeah, I have a show tonight. Oh, well, then it can wait till morning. Okay, thanks. She would have been much happier getting me up out of bed.
Of course. Disturbing your sleep.
Right. Well, now it's like I'm still awake. So now I am going to go to bed so I can get up in the, you know. I'm off tomorrow. I'm off on Sunday. I had a chance to go to the game on Sunday, but I opted out because I want to be able to watch the games instead of being at the game.
Sure. Is your wife going? Did I see that?
She is. She's going. She's going with my brother-in-law.
Okay.
He's like Mr. Packers, and he gets to go for free, so even better.
That's the best price of all, and it's not going to be crazy. It's not going to be, you know, 10 degrees and snowing and all that.
35, yeah. Which is very manageable for a game at Lambeau. I've been to some December and games at Lambeau where it's, you know, like 8 degrees and snowing. Nope, 35, nothing bad at all. Nice weather. I'm hoping they win by two or three or one. I do think that they're the most compelling of that jumble that could be looking. They're the most fun, I think, that we would have if they made it in, where the other teams are just like, meh, I don't care.
Well, like you said, the most we don't give a fuck type team. Like they just they gonna walk into wherever they go and be like, yeah, we here, we gonna do what we do because we're the
right,
Packers.
It's just experience for them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even being in this game tomorrow is experience for them, and you know, and clearly Love should be their guy because that's the other thing. You know, we talk about Fields with what they talk about. There's been that talk because Love is going into his fifth-year option.
Uh-huh.
And there's all that, you know, a lot of detractors that are always trash, always terrible in practice. I'm not hearing so much of that anymore. I think he's fairly solidified now as, oh, okay, yeah, he can be our future quarterback.
Yeah, it would be real hard to throw him away at this point and start over for them. It'd be really hard.
No, and somebody would scoop him up in a heartbeat.
Right. As opposed to Chicago, which almost feels like they want to throw Fields away and start over. Like,
because it's in the DNA.
And some of the talking heads that don't have any Chicago, you know, bias are bringing up, and this is a point that unfortunately you have to consider as well. Do the Bears and does Virginia McCaskey want to give Fields the bag, as you already talked about, or do they want to start over with a rookie? No matter how bad the rookie might be, how much worse,
correct,
at least he's getting rookie money as opposed to getting
right.
Fields, you know, veteran money. So there's
right.
always, there's that
draft,
part of it.
I get the part that says you can draft the quarterback at one. You can trade Fields.
Right.
And get something for him and make him be the financial burden on some other team. Please send Atlanta. I would love to have him in Atlanta.
I know you would. I don't want to do that because I guess I'm afraid of Caleb Williams or Drake May not being as good as Fields.
That's the whole thing. It's right. It's the devil you know, right, versus the devil you don't. And at least with Justin Fields, you know what you've got, which is a guy who has had a crap offensive line, some really awful defenses. Those things all seem to be getting a little bit better. You got him. You went and you got him DJ Moore.
I was about to say, and no weapons until you got DJ Moore.
Right. The running game is meh, right? But you go and you get, you know, go get a Marvin Harrison or a top-tier wide receiver, one of those guys. Trade that number one pick. You're still picking, although if they win tomorrow, they could be picking somewhere in the 12-13 range. But still, you can trade that number one and get a haul, just like you did with Carolina.
You're allowed to pick good players at 12 and 13, by the way.
Yes, there are still plenty of good players available at 12 and 13. That's what I've heard anyways.
Chicago doesn't know that because they can't do it, but they are there.
Right. Oh, Kevin White, right?
Oh, good Lord. No, he was like 7, I think.
No, yeah, he was 7 or 8. He was way too high.
Oh, my God, he was so bad.
I remember how mad you were when they made that pick.
Oh, I knew. Oh. I knew he was nothing. Oh. Don't get me.
We'll have a whole off season to talk about that up to the draft. Cause yeah, that's always fun when we get to draft time. Cause that's when this is all going to shake out.
Yep. I was looking at my draft aftermath notes and I was so busy this week. I never got a chance to actually sit down and look at them, but I do want to sit down and look at them and sort of look back and see which rookies, you know, that we thought would make an impact and which ones actually did. Like I kind of thought CJ Stroud was going to be better than all the other quarterbacks. I didn't know it was going to be this. I'm not going to even lie and say I thought it was going to be this.
Yeah.
But I had a feeling. And I even remember being interviewed in one of those other scouting jobs that I was trying to get in the over the summer. And one of the questions was, who do you like out of the past draft that just happened, the draft that just happened at that point, like a few weeks before?
Oh, sure.
And I didn't see that question coming, so it, you know, it really was, you know, an organic, you know, off the top of my head answer, and the first name out of my mouth was C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. I remember having a show with Renard years ago when Lamar Jackson got drafted and we were talking about the draft class, like a season preview almost or type thing. And I remember calling him out and saying I thought he would be the guy out of that group.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, so I'll pat myself. I was I liked Lamar Jackson before it was cool. Hipster J strikes back.
You weren't completely alone. You might have been alone amongst this group of people. But yeah, a lot of people like Lamar out of Louisville. So
right, but he was picked. What was he? 32.
Right, he was like the last pick in the first round.
Yeah, he was like way late, and there were other quarterbacks. And I remember we had that discussion, and I was like, you know,
wasn't that the Zach Wilson, Mac Jones group and all of them?
Boy, we'd have to go back and pluck out which draft that was, or was that the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff draft?
Oh wow. Whatever it was, he was like
around for a while.
He was like the fifth quarterback in that round. That's that part I remember.
Yeah, he was.
And the guys ahead of him were not good.
No, they were not Lamar Jackson. Not at this point, anyway. So, who may be a two-time MVP, at least by the league's consideration?
That'd be incredible. I definitely didn't have, and neither did you. You did not have two-time MVP Lamar Jackson when you said that.
No, I just liked his his tape and his skills. Coming out of Louisville, he progressed. He was the guy who started. You know, his first year, and then right every year he kind of got a little better, and you know he sort of plateaued there for a while, and he dealt with injuries, and now he seems to be on that
bad coaching
upward trajectory again. Yes, bad coaching. I'll let you go.
All right. We did it. We got a whole show. The website actually worked. They sent the email finally. They responded, and they basically just apologized for all the connection issues and said that our next billing will not be February 1st. It'll be March 1st. So
I told you, I just asked for something for free, and it's amazing. It worked.
I would have never thought it, but you did it. You suggested it, and you got us a free month. So good job out of you.
Yeah. Hey. Well, I mean, basically 3 weeks of that in a row.
Right. Just torture.
Right.
Absolute
Couldn't
torture.
Couldn't do the shows. I mean, I'm jumping out of bed.
Hey, I connected. Run downstairs.
I called in a breakfast on the show last week.
Right,
because we were doing the show, with me up against the clock because I had to get in the shower to go to work. But I still was able to. It's like, okay, we're accommodating them. They were not accommodating us. Why are we paying them?
Yes, we were paying for the privilege of fitting when the site decides to work into our schedule.
Right.
Yeah,
but
that's not good.
Solid as a rock. So hopefully their engineers, their crack staff, got it all figured out, and we'll enjoy our free month. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know why it took them so long to do it. Like, everybody was off for Christmas and New Year's. Everybody is what it felt like.
Maybe that's what it was. IT took off. IT was on break.
Seriously. But, yeah, everything all good tonight. So, week 18 set up, and it's going to be crazy. We our picks were kind of crazy, and it reflects how crazy this week is going to be with some of these teams sitting everybody and some other teams not sitting. And every game basically has something on the line except for like two of them. It's incredible.
And all I hope for is just a split. I just don't want to give back everything I've gained, in week 18, because it's like the week that doesn't matter. And I hate it when week 18's you're digging in a grave in week 18, like with games where that's why we flip against a coin.
That's why it's a coin flip. That's exactly why.
All right.
But the way I've been picking, I wouldn't worry if I were you.
What?
So the way I've been picking, I wouldn't worry if I were you.
No, don't say that, because all it takes is this weird shit to happen. So I'd be very happy going 5-3. I don't want to get greedy. I would be perfectly happy going into the playoffs down 3, because that's nothing. In the points.
Well, it's coming up on tomorrow and Sunday. We will see how it all shakes down. So, yes, happy New Year to you and your family.
Same to you. Yeah, 3:30 tomorrow. Already. We'll be at dinner at 4:30, so I will not see most of that first game, but I'm sure I'll be sneaking peeks at my phone.
Yep, it's the last, finally, the last weekend of the regular season. It took forever to get, again, the longest season of the year, tied with last year for the longest season in history, and it feels like it. And then playoffs right around the corner next week, so it's that time of the year. All right, we are different on 8. We'll see how all of that shakes out. All right, he is Jay. I am Dre. We actually got to do a show at the time that we intended to do it. And that's a good thing for everybody. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening. And come back next Friday. Wait, what's next Friday?
Friday, right?
Right.
Wild card weekend.
My wife's birthday is a week after yours, of course. So I was trying to figure out, are we doing her dinner next Friday or Saturday? I think we're doing it Saturday. So I should be good for Friday. Should be.
Okay, yeah, because we've got super mega wicked wild card weekend, yay sports.
Yes.
Next Saturday, with 3 games each day. Three games.
No, 3 games Saturday, 2
and game.
Sunday, and 1 Monday night. Div.
A Monday night game, yeah. So it's, wow.
That's the new thing they've been doing. So
yeah.
We'll see how that all shakes out. All right, everybody, we will talk to you again or intend to talk to you Friday night to get ready for the playoffs. Everybody, enjoy the last weekend of the regular season. And we will talk to you next Friday night.